Well, if it's Friday night, it must be in football. Hello, it is football. We've got Marblehead at Wakefield. High school football action tonight on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and Scott Cooper, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Two games tonight, two more games tomorrow night, and just another beautiful evening. I want to welcome in Scott Cooper. Scott, you've been following Marblehead, the last 200-300 years. Good opening for the guys.
Well, if you take out the first quarter last week, Rick, they played really well. Barry Greener, the Walpole coach, said couldn't do anything against them offensively or defensively. Greener switched quarterbacks, he shuffled quarterbacks, three tight ends, four wide receivers. Nothing worked for them last week in Marblehead.
Well, Coach was telling us that Marblehead's got a lot of options in the backfield, a lot of options as receivers. And Coach Redloff seems to... no matter how good you play, you can always do better. That's the coaching philosophy, I guess.
Well, the only question was for them going into the season. They had a lot of talent. The kids had played running back last year, a couple of receivers. Captain Manning Sears is back. Drew Galley's first year as quarterback, he did take a couple of snaps, but he did have a spirited battle for the quarterback position heading up to the opening game with Thomas Rocket, but Galley got the job, and he stumbled. He admitted that he was a little jittery in the first quarter, but once they settled down, did really well.
Okay. Paul, we've seen... have you guys played... Did you play Wakefield at all?
Well, years ago, yeah.
You did play Wakefield.
Yes, we came down here a couple times, so we did play them. Yeah, it was a lot different.
Well, opening day at Wakefield, I'm sorry.
It's a beautiful new stadium, as most schools are getting, and of course the bleachers are just on one side now, but I guess economics plays a part in this, too.
All right, this is our live streaming video for tonight. It is Marblehead at Wakefield. Marblehead opening up 27-0. Wakefield falling 24-0. So let's see how this one plays out. We'll get to more, and we'll check in on both coaches as our pregame show continues. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with Coach Redloff of Marblehead.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodright Double Hung Insert Window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
Come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. the Daily Item of Lynn, and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
This is MSO, newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell with Jim Rudloff, head football coach at Marblehead High School. Jim, you guys are off to a 1-0 start, and this week you're at Wakefield.
Yep, a very well-coached opponent. I know they had a tough time against Beverly. Beverly was flying high at the new Hurd Stadium. Wakefield's not a Saturday team. I think that's hard for teams to play on Saturdays. So, you know, we told our kids that, you know, going up against an opponent like this, you know, don't look at the last film. There's a lot of factors that made that fair to Wakefield, especially their quarterback in their last scrimmage broke his leg, and they were trying two different people at the quarterback position last week, a sophomore and another older player who was a running back. So we expect to see a much better Wakefield team, a team that's home, comfortable on a Friday night. So hopefully our kids believed in what we were teaching them and not really maybe what their eyes showed them on film.
Well, I know eyes kind of opened up a little bit on your score from Friday night, the win over Walpole. What, 27-0? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 27-0. So I guess put that into some kind of context for us.
Honestly, I don't think we expected it to be that score either. We really like our defense. We think that we have some kids that can play. And also with the number of returning starters we have on defense, the offense was a big question mark, and it still is, really. You know, I think Walpole, after a 3-hour, 90-degree heat bus ride, had a tough time getting up for that game. So we saw a weakened opponent, you know, maybe a wounded bull. And for us, you know, I don't think it was necessarily a true test. But the good news is that given those factors that we performed, you know, we got an outcome that we should have with a weakened opponent. But, you know, I don't think Wakefield's not going to be in that position this week. They're going to be in a much stronger position, and our kids will have to come out and respond in their first away game.
Yeah. Jim, tell us about your team now, in the sense that, what's different about this year's team from last year's team?
Last year we had a very small senior class, and the leadership came from a couple of key seniors that really led the team. This year the leadership really comes from the entire senior class. We have a group of really good athletes that have played every season together in almost every sport. A lot of kids that are three-sport athletes. Almost every one of the kids in our senior class are terrific students too. So it's a special group of kids. For that, you know, we're hopeful to have a nice season this year. The flip side of that is that we're not a very experienced group. You know, we don't have a lot of key positions returning. You know, there's not a quarterback in this group that had really any playing experience at all. Jason played half the snaps last year at tailback. We really didn't have a lot of kids coming back on the line. So finding some of those key players out of this group and then finding some people to back them up in the younger classes has been the most critical thing. But I think that's a big difference with this year's team is we don't really know what we have offensively, and what we're going to find out over the course of the season.
Yeah. Well, Jim, maybe to zero it in on last two kind of questions here, if you're scouting your team and you walk away from watching Marblehead Walpole last Friday night, who are the names of a handful of people on offense and on defense that, you know, kind of stand out for Marblehead?
Well, I think that, you know, the first person you're going to notice right away on both sides of the ball is going to be Bo Millett. You know, Bo's a dynamic really player. Bo can start for most of the teams in the Northeast Conference at a couple of different positions. Last year he was our starting right tackle, started every single game. This year he started the Walpole game at tight end, and will continue to start at tight end or play tight end for us throughout the season. But don't be surprised to see Bo also play some guard, center, and tackle as well. You know, we're fortunate to have a number of very talented receivers. Bo falls into that category. He probably has the, you know, best hands on the team, maybe. So we like to use him in a lot of different spots. He could show up anywhere during a game. He's also probably our best defensive tackle and maybe the best defensive tackle in the league with his speed. He has great, you know, great hands, quick hands, knows how to use his hands violently. So we're excited about, you know, seeing the things that Bo can do this year. The other guy I'd have to point to right away is Aiden Gillis. He's only a junior, but he's a dynamic linebacker. He can do just about everything. As he gets older and matures, he's got to learn, not to take the plays that are away from him off. And once he does that, I think, he may be the best linebacker in the state. He's probably also our best offensive lineman. We have him playing at center this week against Wakefield. And I think if there's two kids you have to watch, it's those two. But certainly we have a lot of other playmakers. Harry Craig, Manning Sears, Jason Lopez, those are three kids that on both sides of the ball will always be at the point of attack and will always be part of, whether it's a touchdown or a sack. One of those guys are always going to be involved.
Finally, Jim, your coaching staff. I like to, when I talk to a coach for the first time during the year, have you update us on your coaching staff. Any changes and who's on the Marblehead coaching staff for 2016?
Yeah, we still have the same group of guys. I've been, blessed to have a great group of guys with me through the years that I've been here. And I think, for high school coaching nowadays, that's the key. It's not the head coach. It's his staff. If you can get a dedicated group of guys that know what they're doing and are doing it for the kids, then you're going to be successful. The only addition we have this year is we added Ben Goodhue, who with the change in coaching over at Beverly, we were fortunate to get Ben to come over here and become our defensive coordinator. We've already seen some results from that. Ben's done a really good job working with our guys and more than anything else, bringing energy to the defensive side of the ball.
You brought your principal over from Beverly, too, right?
That's been, I'm not supposed to reveal that he has anything to do with football, but I think it's difficult every now and then. I'll get a wink and a nod and check out the six technique or make sure that you squeeze down on this. But, obviously it's having Dan here has been, for morale for the kids, it's great. He's been a terrific principal so far. He's all over the place in the school. He's brought great leadership. More than anything else, he's a very positive guy to have. And that's, I think going to make everybody, have a big jump in their academics as well. Obviously it's going to help the sports teams too as well.
Referring, of course, to Dan Bauer, former Beverly High football coach and assistant principal, now principal at Marblehead. Well, Jim, good talking with you. Best of luck this Friday night.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Jim Rudloff, head football coach at Marblehead. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com.
So, Coach, a little bit about Coach Bauer looking over Coach Rudloff's shoulder.
Well, you can't get away from it. I mean, although they competed together, they certainly have a lot of respect for each other. And Dan certainly proved himself as a very good coach. And probably it was a hard decision for him to make. Does he walk away from football? But I know he wanted to be a principal. He had applied in a number of places, was a finalist in a number of places. So it's a good fit for him. And certainly he'll be at the games, that's for sure.
I wonder if Coach Boyajis is going to be here, too. Same type thing. Coach Boyajis, Mike Boyajis, the athletic director and coach here, recently retiring and turning the reins over to Steve Cummings, who has done a terrific job here. But a young team, as we heard, and you mentioned, Paul, the projected starting quarterback out for the year, and that's not a great way to start the season.
No, it's tough. It's tough for the team, but it's also very tough for the kid. You look so forward to this, and most kids put so much time and effort into it, and then they have something like that. I'm not sure how he broke his leg, but I know that I can see him in the wheelchair over there. And it's a very unforgiving sport, unfortunately. And you can be on top of the world one minute, and the next minute you're not playing anymore.
Well, that's why it's a microcosm of life, I guess. So we're talking about Kobe Nadeau, who's the senior quarterback, and he was projected to be the starter this year for Wakefield High School. We will have Coach Cummings coming up in a minute, be talking to Coach Cummings. I want to get a word in here with Scott. Scott, what did you see the way Coach Rudloff was talking? It's just a matter of getting their feet under them, it seems. They're a pretty seasoned team.
It's very difficult to key on one or two players because they've got three excellent running backs. They've got kids who can catch the ball. Sam Paquette, the kicker, puts it right where he's supposed to put it. And it's just, they're very deep.
Well, both teams finished the warm-ups. We should set the scene here. Wakefield now just going off the field to get final words from the coach. We're about 10 minutes away from game time. This is our live-streaming video game, and it's a great addition. Andrew Nicastro, along with Austin Souza, upstairs doing a fantastic job. And this game will be available on demand tomorrow as well. And if you didn't see it, the Gloucester-Lynn Classic game from last week is also on demand. That's right on our website. Just check out, take a look up in sports, and you will find last week's game there under the Gloucester Lynn Classical headline. Tonight it's a beautiful scene as we're looking sort of southwest as the sun is setting now behind a line of trees, and the field is just kind of set in sort of like into the mountainside almost. We're surrounded on three sides by trees, which is a terrific effect. And then the opening down to our right is where the parking lot is above. We're above the parking lot, so it's just a gorgeous field. And Paul, it's again a great place for kids to play.
Yeah, it is, and they have quite a facility here. They have, I think, three artificial surfaces, and the football team actually doesn't practice here. They just use this for games, and they practice down behind the middle school. So they've certainly upgraded the whole campus of the high school, and it looks like they have good numbers in football, too, as does Marblehead, which is a concern. In this day and age, it seems to be tougher to get kids out for whatever reason.
For sure. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll check in with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings. Bill talked to him earlier, so we'll be right back. Game time just about 10 minutes away.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
This is MSO, newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Steve Cummings, football coach at Wakefield High School. And Steve, you're playing host to Marblehead tonight in a video game here on MSO News Sports, but maybe some reaction to last week's game in Beverly, the Beverly win against Wakefield.
Yeah, we made a lot of mistakes in our kicking game. Watching the tape, we had some mental breakdowns on some big plays that Beverly was able to take advantage of. So, you know, I know the score is 24-0, but if we shore up some of those mistakes, especially early, you know, maybe we go into the half 0-0, or we're able to maintain some field possession, which was big. So big focus tonight is just not allowing ourselves to, you know, mentally check out of certain plays, giving them big plays, making them earn every single yard. If we can do that, we feel like we can, you know, we'd be in this ball game for four quarters.
Coach, if you were to look at the offense and the defense and to pick out a couple of things that you really wanted to work on this week, what would they be?
This week, our offensive line's got to play really well. They have a three-man defensive line, so I think if our offensive line can get off the ball and they can get to the blocks and we can get second level, they have two really good middle linebackers, you know, 3 and 52. They flow very well, so we need to be able to take care of first level, but make sure we get guys that attack second level to give our running backs a chance to, you know, break those 6 to 8 yard runs. Our quarterback, Mike Lucy, sophomore, I thought he grew up a lot last Saturday. You know, he's just got to make that next step in the progression. You know, right now he's making some mistakes that you would expect a sophomore to make. And now it's just, can he take the mistakes that he make, apply what we've coached and what we talked about, and you know, just put a better product on the field. Defensively, I thought the effort was great from our guys. Our front three played fantastic on Saturday. Linebacker-wise, we missed a couple gaps, missed a couple of assignments, and it just seemed like whenever we did that, they were able to pick up on it. You know, secondary-wise, you know, we didn't give up any big pass plays. We gave up one down the sideline. It was a good ball. But they were just solid. We need to have more consistent effort.
Well, now, you had learned like 1 week prior to last week's game that Kobe Nato, your starting quarterback, was going to be out with the injury at the English scrimmage, and then so Mike Lucy comes in at quarterback. And I know prior to the game last week, you were optimistic that Lucy would be able to pick things up.
Yeah, he's a bright kid. You know, before last Saturday, the highest level of football I'd ever played was freshman football. So going against a defense like Beverly and some of the guys they have on defense, it's pretty steep learning curve. So to think he was going to go in there and play flawless, especially falling behind where we had to throw the ball a little bit more than we wanted to, you got to live with it. You know, he's a sophomore kid. He's going to make mistakes. But the thing I like about him is, you know, he doesn't really make the same mistake twice. When he makes a mistake and you tell him, hey, we can't do that, or you got to look here, he does it. So he's extremely coachable. I'll tell you, it's the future is very, very bright for that kid. So this tonight we're hoping he can just, you know, make his reads, get his checkdowns, and do the right thing with the ball.
And I know one of his interceptions late in the game was one of those plays where he's just got to put the ball up no matter what. And, you know, it's not his fault, really, that a ball gets picked off at that moment.
No, and you know, the other thing is, you know, for a young quarterback, a lot of the mistakes they make is holding the ball too long, not trusting that they can get the ball somewhere. I like that he thinks he can fit the ball in wherever he wants to. It shows a lot of confidence. So I'll work with that instead of a guy who's going to just hold the ball the entire time and take sacks all day.
Hey, last question here on the game, and that would be Marblehead. Now, they knocked off Walpole in their opener, so we have no idea how good Marblehead is, but you might have a better idea certainly than I do. So what's your take on this Marblehead team this year?
They're fast. Very, very fast. You know, when watching them on tape, they're pretty deceptive with what they do offensively. They use a lot of motions. They use a lot of formations. And they're just trying to get the ball to guys in space, and they're trying to make you make a bad decision. And they've been able to get people to do it. They were a really good football team last year. They're the number one seed in their bracket. So they've had a couple of years of a lot of success. So what they're doing is working. They're very fast. They're very disciplined. You know, offensively, they're going to give you a bunch of looks, one back set, two back set, trips, motion, bunch of stuff. It's really on our guys just to make sure they read their keys, get to where they're supposed to go, and not, you know, pay attention to the whole thing. Just read what it is that your spot on the defense is.
Finally, would you like to give a shout-out to a couple of folks down in North Carolina tonight, Coach?
Yeah, my parents are finally going to be able to watch a game. They live down in Wilmington, North Carolina, so they'll be able to stream it live. So I'm looking forward to you know, getting a chance for my dad and Laura to get a chance to watch us play.
And we hope everything works as far as the streaming is concerned. But, Coach, thanks for joining us. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
Steve Cummings, head football coach at Wakefield High School. I'm Bill Newell. This is MSONewsSports.com.
All right, so far everything is working, so the Cummings family can let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com that they got the message from the son, from Steve Cummings down in North Carolina. That is pretty cool. I was down in Florida last year watching the Marblehead-Beverly game on MSO No Sports. So we're still a little bit away from game time. The Wakefield band is massed down to our left between the 20 and 35-yard line, and they have white shirts on, I guess it is. They look like T-shirts and dark-colored pants, and they've got a million cheerleaders out on the field. At the hash marks from the goal line out all the way out to the 50-yard line to greet the Wakefield football team when they come onto the field. Over on Channel 8 tonight, it's St. Mary's at Lynn English. That game about to get underway as well. Bill Newell and Tim Kearns over at Manning Field for that one. And tomorrow, two more games. Gloucester at Beverly, that's on Channel B, a 1 o'clock start. And Lynn Classical at Swampscott. That will be a noontime start, and that's on Channel A. So Channel A at noon, Lynn Classical at Swampscott with Bill and John Squires, I believe, and Gloucester at Beverly will be Marty Smith and Tim Kearns bringing you that game. So chock full of football, and again, if you ever mind, you got complaints or suggestions, send them on to msonewsports@gmail.com. More games next week. I also want to thank our host today who have been so gracious to us this evening, Brendan Kent, who is the athletic director here at Wakefield High School. Actually met us right down in the parking lot and escorted us up here and showed us where to go. And I also want to thank Spiros Frangoulis, who is the public address announcer up here in the booth. Couldn't be nicer and accommodated us. It's just awesome. So really appreciate that. Looking forward to a good game. So, Coach, we've got to in a couple more minutes before we get this thing started. We'll have one more final break. I just got to check my time. Can't even see the clock down here. There it is, 6:54. And all right, so I don't know, Paul, anything in the first week stand out in the conference or otherwise? Anything that you saw last week? Gloucester with that tremendous comeback win at the end.
Well, I think with regarding the Gloucester game, Jermaine Edwards, I think he's the real deal. And he caught a pass in the flat and went about 70 yards, which sealed the deal for Gloucester. And, you know, he's a kid that works hard in practice. He's a middle linebacker on defense and a very good player. And one of the good things, you know, for Gloucester is they got a good tailback in Sanfilippo and a good fullback. And they have a sophomore at wingback who's also Mark Smith, who's doing quite well also. So I think Gloucester, you know, should be a good game tomorrow against Beverly. I was impressed with Beverly too when I saw them against Wakefield on film, and they do have a lot of skills and positions, and they are quick. And you know, that's the name of the game, to be quite honest, in my opinion.
I want to ask Scott Cooper. Scott, did you see Swampscott at all, or what can you tell us about the Big Blue?
I have not seen the Big Blue, but I'll be over there tomorrow.
Okay.
Because they were playing at the same time on Friday night against Lynn English. But I will be there tomorrow to hang around with my good friend Bill Newell.
Anything stand out? Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm talking about John Squires. You're going to be over there at the game.
I am.
Well, I will correct that. See, you guys, I'm a mess. First couple of weeks of school, anything stand out in your mind in the conference?
I've seen Marblehead play, and I've seen St. Mary's play. St. Mary's looks pretty good. And Marblehead, as I mentioned earlier, very deep team, a lot of weapons. Was Beverly really 24-0? Did they dominate that game?
Did they dominate? Well, you were at the game.
Well, I saw it on film. I don't know if you'd say they dominated, but what you know, when you start a sophomore quarterback in a offense like this, it's hard. I mean, to ask him to do that much, and especially against a pretty good defensive team. So, you know, now that he's got his feet wet, you know, basically the second game of the season should be your biggest improvement.
Okay, we'll be right back with the kickoff of tonight's game. It is Marblehead at Wakefield on MSONewsSports.com.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities, because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Okay, the captains of both teams out at the center of the field. The national anthem has been played. Wakefield is massed on the far side of the field all by themselves. There's no stand over there, but there are a lot of banners up for advertising to support the school. On the near side, it's Marblehead in their black pants with the white jerseys. Almost silver, I guess. Are they white or silver?
White.
White. All right, they're white with the black numerals, so they're easy to spot, black helmets. And same thing for Wakefield. Wakefield has the red jerseys with the gray pants, and they've got the white numerals. So we're going to be able to see the numbers tonight, Coach.
Yeah, big difference from last week.
Yeah. Good.
Very nice.
Winthrop colors were really
white numbers stand out.
Yeah, it looks great. So Wakefield will be receiving the ball down to our left, and for Marblehead, they will be kicking off from right to left. Alex Jolie is the kicker, and as Scott was saying, he knows what he's doing. He's the punter, the extra point man, and on kickoffs as well. Just about ready to get underway. Marblehead 1-0. Wakefield is 0-1. Beautiful.
A lot of teams, Rick, are doing is deferring if they win the toss. They want to win the toss, but they don't want the ball.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I always did that. I know Belichick does it with the Patriots. But, you know, let the other team prove they can move the ball. And if they can't, which is it's difficult sometimes to get your offense going in the very first series. So if you can stop them, make them punt, then you got great field position. And in high school football, field position, well, at any level, is so important. But you always wanted to get off to a good start, and if you could stop them, make them punt, and get good field position, it was a shorter field for you.
Well, I stand corrected, yep. I've got the wrong number here, I guess. Sam Parquette is the kicker for Marblehead, my bad. He is a senior. I'm sorry, Scott, what did you say?
Marblehead's on a mission for the last couple of seasons have been very unsatisfying, especially for the seniors. They've had fantastic regular seasons, and then they've had a tough exit from the playoffs 2 years ago. It was Tewksbury, and last year they lost to Danvers at home.
Ball comes up short to a 32-yard line, returned to about the 37, and I do not know who received it, but it was an up-back and great field position for Wakefield to start this game.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that he wanted to do that. He just popped the ball almost straight up and only went to the 35-yard line. And
yeah, very short kick, and Wakefield starts at their own 38 is where they put it.
So that's not what you want if you kick off.
So 5 seconds off the clock, we start the game.
Just first impressions, Rick. Wakefield's got some size to them.
Yeah, and nobody lists them anymore on these programs, so we have
right,
no idea.
We've got
trips out to the right side, one receiver to the left right away. Lucy, the quarterback, is going to run and keep it with it. He's a sophomore, and he's going to scoot out to the 41-yard line before he's stopped by Aiden Gillis.
Well, for a sophomore, he looks like he's got pretty good size, probably about 6 foot, maybe 180 pounds.
Right away, run play to start the game. They put it at the 41, so it is a 4-yard gain. Right away for the Wakefield Warriors. They were start with Pat Bertini up front, along with Dan Cataldo and Joe Connell at guards. Devin O'Brien and Charlie Sr., who's a junior, by the way, are the tackles. Mike Lucy is the quarterback, and we'll give you the receivers as we can. Alex McKenna, one of the captains, split out to the right. And we've got two receivers split far side, left side of the field with the ball in the near hash mark. It's a low snap. Lucy picks it up. Going to be buried for a loss back to the 40-yard line. No chance on that one.
Marblehead's playing a 3-4 defense. They have three down linemen, one covering the center. And they have two outside linebackers that we used to call defensive ends, and then two interior linebackers, four deep secondary. I think a lot of teams are going to this because of so many spread formations. It's easy to adjust people.
You may have heard Spiros Frangoulis in the background say 3rd and 7. First possession of the game. We are in the twilight now with the sun already set behind the trees on the far side. No wind to speak of. It's gorgeous tonight. Absolutely fantastic. Lucy back in the shotgun. One runner off to his left. It's not Lucy. It's one of the captains who goes to the 38-yard line for a loss. That was Joe Marinaccio. Joe Marinaccio got the direct snap, and he gets it back to the 39, and that's it.
Loss of
one. So after the initial 4-yard gain, Marblehead, Wakefield rather, goes backwards a couple of yards, and they will face a 4th down and 8. They take a timeout, and they're over on the far side, I think. Or did they take a timeout?
No,
nope.
They just
huddle on the far sideline?
Right. I guess
okay.
They're a kicking team.
All right, now.
Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pat Leary is the punter for Wakefield. I'll have to see who's back deep for Marblehead. Line drive kick that's going to bounce at the 36, picked up at the 27-yard line.
Uh-oh.
A return being set up by Jason Lopez. Cuts it outside. Flag goes down at the 40-yard line. Lopez gets it to the 40, but there is a penalty marker right there. So what does that usually mean, Coach?
Well, usually blocking below the waist or in the back.
Well, I got to... So the line of scrimmage would have been the 40.
Yep, you're right. Block in the back. And I actually saw in the pros the other day, Paul, the situation you talked about in high school where a blocker is coming up on a tackler on a special teams, and at the last second the tackler turns his back and gets hit by the blocker, and they call the penalty.
Well, they evaluate that, I think, the officials. They know when it's, you know, they're being set up, you know, for...
Yeah. All right, Drew Galley is the quarterback. Jason Lopez is the running back, and Galley is back in shotgun. He's going to hand it off to Lopez, goes forward, and he's hammered and driven backwards. Nothing. Lopez is a senior, and I didn't give you the line of scrimmage. The line of scrimmage to start is the 25.
Pretty impressive stop by the defensive line of Wakefield.
So we'll put it back to the 24. It's a one-yard loss. Terrific start for that front line. We'll give you that in a second. We'll give you everything in a second. Now two backs in the backfield with quarterback Galley. It's a handoff and a run play coming to the left side, spurting it outside. Breaking tackles and going out to the 30-yard line is, I'm not sure who that is. Harry Craig.
Now the first play went right up the middle there. They went off tackle. Wakefield's playing the same basic defense as Marblehead, 3-4.
It's at the 31. Hurry-up offense. They go right back to the line of scrimmage, and now Galley and the rest of the backfield looking over for the signal from the sidelines. And that includes Bo Millette. Now they're going to split out to the right side. They're going to send Craig Millette out to the right and one receiver down here to the left. Lots of receivers. Quick pass out to the right. Fire, bullet, complete, caught, and down right there in his tracks. That was Derek Marino with the catch. First down for Marblehead at the 37.
Well, nice throw. Just a hitch route. You get enough for the first down. Turned around and the ball was there. Timing is everything in those plays. That ball's got to be in the air before he actually makes his break, and it was.
6 yard gain, and we're going to again send overload that right side, which is the short side of the field. Marblehead moving from right to left. And a motion from right to left, Galley. Play action, fires it over the middle, complete to the 50, to the 45, and down to about the 44-yard line, or maybe even the 43. And with the reception is Jack Knight.
Boy, just a seam right up the hash marks. Play action pass. Boy, impressive so far throwing the ball.
19-yard gain, first down for Marblehead, and they're moving very crisply now. This time, kept on the ground. Lopez spins away, breaks another tackle, goes forward to the 41-yard line. Nice looking drive so far, and they're going to put it very close to the 41, so about a 3-yard gain for Lopez. Second down and 7. And it's not really a hurry-up because they go to the line of scrimmage, but then everybody looks at the sidelines for the signal, for the play.
Right, it's... I wouldn't call it hurry-up, yeah.
Craig in motion from left to right. Firing it over the left side. Tip and caught at the 40-yard line and down to... Well, the knee goes down at the 39. The ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage, but it was hauled in by number 40? And we don't have 40 on the program. Who was that? Did I see that right, Paul?
I thought it was 12.
No, 12. I'm sorry. Okay. 40 was on the defense. All right. So the reception was made by Justin Faya. And penalty. Oh, no, it's not a penalty.
Well, I believe they did call
holding. Well, everybody's moving here, so.
Yeah. But it appears they're...
Yeah, there we go.
Well, are they marking it off from the original line of scrimmage?
I don't know. Is that from the line of scrimmage or after the reception? Bring it back to the 48.
The penalty was at the spot of the car. Penalty
yeah.
That ball was the spot of the 48-yard line. Setting that.
Well, anyway, it's back to the Wakefield 48. Again, motion. And this is right up the middle. Quarterback keeper busted to the 40, 35, carrying tacklers down to the 32-yard line. Is that an option, Paul?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a design play. I didn't think he read anybody. He just faked the ball to the motion man and... Didn't appear that he looked at anybody on the defense to see what they were doing.
16-yard gain. Aiden Gillis is the center for Marblehead. Nick Corsini, Griffin Mingilello are the guards. And this is kept on the ground this time. Big hole for Harry Craig, busting it off tackle and bowling down to the 24.
To the 25-yard line.
Harry Craig is a senior as well. And let's see where they put it. I can't see where it is, Coach.
Second and three. 25,
yep. 7-yard gain. Second down and three. Ball between the hash marks. Getting dark, lights on. Beautiful, brand new stadium once again here in Wakefield. Again, the motion with Craig from right to left. Stands in the backfield. He gets the swing out pass and goes down to the 25, to the 20, and out of bounds inside the 20-yard line. That was almost a lateral, but he was going forward.
Right, but they really execute very well on this series. Very relaxed, the quarterback throwing the ball. Seems to know exactly where he wants to go with it.
Well, Gillis, Corsini, Mingiello, Evans, that's Jaden Evans and Ryan Dumay up front. That's the offensive line for Marblehead. Receivers left and right with one man in the backfield who gets the handoff. Lopez weaving his way through and gets close to the 15. This will be the 11th play of the drive coming up. And on this drive, quarterback Galley is 3 for 3. We're at the 15, 4-yard gain, so it's 2nd and 6.
He looks in charge too, Rick. I mean, that's his... You know, he looks confident in what he's doing, his decision-making, and that's what you want in a quarterback.
Well, they took over with 8:32 left to go, so they've had the ball for about 5 minutes on this drive, and it has been relentless. Wide out, way out to the left side. And this time it's Lopez up the middle. He may go all the way, and he does. He's untouched, and he goes in for the touchdown from 15 yards out. And Marblehead leads 6-0.
Lopez.
It's just off tackle.
Marblehead 6, Wakefield 0.
And for the Magicians, that is a 10-play, 75-yard touchdown drive.
Well, what happens is he completes some passes, so the secondary kind of loosens up, and then when they run the ball, the people have to make tackles. There was a missed tackle at the line, and
it is good.
With the field so spread out that once you beat that tackle, you're home free to the goal line.
Well, Parquette puts it through for the extra point, and it is now 7-0 with Marblehead leading. 3:34 left to go, and Scott, you're taking notes, and I don't know how you read those things, but your opinion here. You got your own codes?
Stenography.
Yeah?
Even though they got the touchdown, I'm sure Coach Rudloff is not pleased with those two penalties on the first play of the game. Penalty. Lopez got a long touchdown wiped out last week as of a penalty and a big 42-yard gain. So I'm sure he's focused on the two penalties. But that was a nice drive, though.
Yeah, very, very sustained and relentless. And they did everything, Paul.
Well, they overcame some obstacles of those penalties. I mean, it didn't seem to slow them down much.
Okay, so 3:34 left to go in the first quarter. Parquette, again, will be booting off from right to left. And Wakefield will take the ball for the second time. And we have, let's see. It's going to come down to the 13-yard line to Marinaccio. Great return out to the 35-yard line. So good hard run by Marinaccio, and I think it is. No, it's 18.
That was a return by number 26, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, I'm all screwed up. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick. I had the wrong number completely. Fitzpatrick brings it out to the 36-yard line.
23-yard run back.
Where Wakefield will start its second drive. Virtually the same spot they started their first drive. They're at the 37 first time around. But only 2 yards. They need to get some offense going, trailing 7-0. Marblehead scoring on its first possession. And great crowd. Terrific crowd tonight. A lot of people here on a beautiful night to see high school football. Over on Channel A, St. Mary's at Lynn English. Sorrentino in motion. Run play. Nothing.
It looked like an option, and he gave the ball to the dive back, and there was nothing there.
I don't know.
I mean, sophomore quarterback, I'm not sure if they're calling on these so-called option plays to give or to keep. And not bother to read.
Well, again, we have to mention the projected starting quarterback, Kobe Nadeau, out for the season with a broken leg. He is here. And
well, now they're going to something a little bit different, I formation.
I stacked up behind quarterback Mike Lucy, pitches to the tailback, trying to cut it outside, gets a block, a tremendous block, far
nice
side,
shot.
Eye, breaks at 40, out to the 48-yard line. That's Joe Marinaccio this time. One of the captains gets it close to the 50, first down run for Wakefield.
Well, Marblehead was quick to the ball, but they didn't make the play, and he broke a tackle. So this is maybe plan B. Instead of trying to run the spread offense, go to something a little bit more blocking friendly with the I formation.
First down for Wakefield. Joe Marinaccio, one of the captains, with the run. Got a terrific block out there in that far sideline. They're on the far hash mark. Alex McKenna is split way out to the right side, and Carmen Sorrentino is in the slot. But it's a run again, and this time, well, it's going to get a yard or two.
Yeah, it looked like a fullback trap.
Iannuzzi on the carry.
That's P.J. Iannuzzi, number 40, with the carry for a yard. And they will put it at the 38. The 48. So it's a one-yard gain for P.J. Iannuzzi. Sears Manning, Christian Henniger, Bo Millett, and Andy Clough up front for Marblehead. The linebackers, Harry Craig, Teddy Miley, Aiden Gillis, and Sam Frontero. I formation behind the quarterback. And this is going to be a rollout. Looking to pass. Now he has to run, and he's going to be tackled for a loss back to the 45. And once again, Aiden Gillis in on the stop.
Well, I the speed of Marblehead's defense is impressive, and that's what they're built up to be. And also, they're pretty disciplined, kind of a fake with a bootleg, and this side of the defense didn't get suckered towards that fake.
Third and 14 for Wakefield.
Well, what you can't do is you can't give up yardage. I mean, you got to be going forward, and this is tough to overcome.
Inside the one-minute mark, first quarter. Again, over on Channel A, we've got football and two more games tomorrow night. Marblehead with 5 guys up on the line of scrimmage. Linebackers in close. Quarterback rolling out for Wakefield. Look out, he's going to be hit from behind. Throws it across his body. Oh, terrific catch at the 35, but out of bounds. Alex McKenna went way up for it and was just out of bounds. Terrific pass for the sophomore, Mike Lucy, rolling to his left, throwing across his body and diagonally across the field. But
he had a lot of pressure from the backside. I don't know if he started to feel it, but he felt it after the pass. I'll tell you that.
I think it was Gillis running him down. Once again, it's fourth down for the Wakefield Warriors. With 31 seconds left to go, first quarter. And they'll have to punt again. This is a high punt that's going to hit and go out of bounds on the far sideline at the 33.
Well, they're putting a lot of pressure on the punter, too.
Well, there you go. First quarter is all over. We'll come right back and give you some more football here after one from Wakefield. The score is Marblehead. 7 and Wakefield 0.
At Historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get. From our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're right back for the second quarter with Marblehead leading 7-0 on the strength of Jason Lopez, 10-yard. Oh, I'm sorry, it was 15, wasn't it? I think I wrote 10, but it's, let me check it. Yeah, 15-yard. That's 15-yard touchdown run, 10 plays, 75 yards on that drive for Marblehead, leading it
7-0. Wakefield with the ball twice. Warriors have the one first down. So now the headers. The Magicians will start from their own 33 as we start this second quarter. They're on the near hash mark now. They're moving from left to right. Got a full house backfield with quarterback in the middle, and it's a run play. Handoff to the 35, 40, and this may go all the way. Lopez all the way into Wakefield Real Estate, 40, 30, 20. Man chasing him down, and he goes in for the touchdown. Wow, did that thing develop quick. Jason Lopez with the 67-yard touchdown run.
Looked to me, Rick, like it was a planned counterplay where they had the three backs and the quarterback from the shotgun sprinted left and then gave it to Lopez on a counter back because there was nothing back here. The flow of the defense went with the quarterback's action and certainly was a gaping hole. And you could tell when he gets it in the open field, he's gone. So very impressive.
Yeah, it looked like a sweep and an option to the left, and then Lopez just cut it again across the grain.
Oh,
gets his second. What happened here?
Well, it was blocked.
The kick is blocked and trying to be returned by Wakefield, but no go.
Yeah, and it had to be offsides. He was there before the ball was.
So a 67-yard touchdown for Lopez, his second of the night, with 10:44 left to go, and looks like we'll redo the point after. 13-0 Marblehead at the moment. Yeah, you're right, Coach. Offside for Wakefield.
He was. It was. I'm saying, boy, he got there right in the ball, got to the holder, and I don't think he's that fast.
Well, Lopez is quite a weapon. Now, what do you call that, Paul, when you've got the quarterback back in shotgun, you got a guy left, a guy right, and a guy behind you?
Well, it's a version of what they call the pistol,
mm-hmm.
but I believe it was a prepared counterplay. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to make it look like it's going to go one way, mm-hmm. and he brings it back across the grain.
Yeah, the blocks downfield were there. Setting up for another point after four par.
Well, there's that same formation. They're going for two.
Yeah, they're going to go for two. So, yep, there's that pistol formation. There's the handoff to Lopez. He's hit in the backfield and dropped. Nice defensive play by Joe Marinaccio. So, the score stays 13-0.
Maybe that offside was worked. They actually probably would have made the kick, and now they went for two and didn't make it.
How about that?
Who knows?
Nice defensive play by the Wakefield captain, though. He's one of the linebackers on defense, Joe Marinaccio.
Well, you got to have a plan A and a plan B. And, it doesn't look like plan A with the spread is going to work unless they complete some passes to loosen up this defense. I suspect Wakefield will go back to the I formation and at least try to eat up some ground and maybe eat up some clock, too.
Okay, first play of the second quarter is a Marblehead touchdown. And so the Magicians will be kicking off from left to right this time. Why can't they have one name? Is there a reason for that, Mr. Cooper?
Well, Rick, my wife was a basketball cheerleader in Marblehead.
Mm-hmm.
They always refer to them as the Headers.
Mm-hmm.
The hockey teams have that on their jerseys,
right.
So that's what I call them.
Yeah, I don't quite get that. Kick goes down to about the 17-yard line, picked up there in a ground ball, returned out to about the 35. Good second effort by the Wakefield receiver, and I don't know who it is. Can't see that far. Thank you. It is Ryan Fitzpatrick of Wakefield who returned it. Nice return. They've had some good returns. So now they need to get some offense moving here out to the 35. Good defensive stop on that point after. And Wakefield will start from their own 35. They started from the 37, the 36, and the 35 consecutively. 10:36 left to go, 13-0. Marblehead. Once again, the quarterback is Mike Lucy. He is a sophomore. One running back in the backfield with three receivers. McKenna, the far receiver, out to the left side. Pitch to the left. It is complete. And breaking a tackle out to the 35, to the 40-yard line. Was Joe Marinaccio.
I think they're going to call Wakefield for holding. It was a nice throw, nice catch, and run, but it's an outside screen, and it's holding.
Marinaccio so far has been all over the place on offense and defense.
and he looked strong on offense, but yep, going to bring it back. And that's a killer.
Right.
You know, they picked up about six or seven. But it's going to come all the way back to the 26.
Well, what they do is they take, they have two receivers. They swing the inside guy to the outside and have the outside guy block the corner. And it's a delay. I mean, it's a, you got to hold him for a while. And unfortunately, you know, he's getting away, so he grabbed a hold of him and right in front of the official. So they've gone back to kind of a spread formation. Well, they got a lot of, obviously, yardage to make up here.
They're spreading the entire field with receivers. Marinaccio in motion, but it is a draw, and it gets yardage out to the 30. And let's see who's running the ball. Number 46 in the corner? Harry Graham. Harry Graham. Number 46. So it does get out to the 30, about a four-yard gain. Make it second and 16 for Wakefield. And again, they will they'll spread the field. They've got three receivers this time way off on the right side with one running back in the backfield with the quarterback. And he's dropped straight back to pass. Looks like a screen over the middle. It is complete at the 35, breaking a tackle out to the 41-yard line. And is that 26. I keep seeing that as an 8. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Catching it in traffic and then getting some positive yardage.
Yeah, it was a nice call and a good screen. The only thing is he was so close to his lineman when he caught the ball that it's tough to find any openings. You kind of want to have a little bit of room in between you and the blocking line so you can read him. But hopefully this is going to be a first down for them. This is a big play.
They got a little bit more than 10, and they need about 4 to go for the first down with the ball just shy of the 42.
You know, he's throwing the ball well. They can catch it. Let's see what happens.
Third down for Wakefield, and they are at the line of scrimmage. Lucy getting ready for the ball back in shotgun. High snap, reels it in. Fires it into the left flat,
It
is complete. Diving catch by Marinaccio. First down at the 47-yard line.
Well, they brought the left defensive end, or left outside linebacker, and they blitzed him, and the quarterback saw it and changed his blocking, and they picked him up, and he made a nice throw, nice catch.
Absolutely. So it is first and 10 at the 47.
You know, as tough as it is, you know, when you go from a senior quarterback and he gets hurt and you play a sophomore, but he looks pretty good. He looks like he's got a good arm, and he certainly is finding the open receiver.
And in motion, gets the pitch, and this could be an option. Nope, gonna
thought it was.
Yeah, going to run with the ball. Right. The Marinaccio, and he squirts his way back to the 50. I thought he was going to reach that.
I thought he was too. Kind of brought the ball up a little bit, like he was going to throw it.
I thought so. Thought it was going to be halfback option, but we have a timeout. Our first timeout. This is called by Marblehead. So the first timeout of the evening. And good start for Marblehead, but Wakefield showing some moxie here on this drive, Paul, and going to the air. Changing offense a little bit.
Well, you know, you got to find something that you can do consistently. You just can't, you know, call random plays. You got to, and you know, it goes back to practice too. I mean, if you can't execute in practice, you're probably not going to execute it in the game. But it looks like if they can get the ball off pretty quickly and then mix in a few runs, I mean, the receivers are getting open and they're catching the ball and he's putting it there. So hopefully that's a good omen. And you know, they picked up the blitz, which is good, which is in high school is tough to do.
Full house here in Wakefield on the near stands. Scott, is this a different look for the magicians' uniforms? Because I didn't get to see them last year. We don't get to go to Marblehead.
They were they mixed those up. They broke out some new uniforms a couple of years ago for the Swampscott game, and then mixing it up.
I like the helmets. Those are cool.
Lucy played, he's played much better in this possession. The first two were kind of a little shaky, but he seems to get his rhythm down now for Wakefield.
Yep, a couple of completions on this drive for the Warriors, and it is second down. Here's a sweep to the left, and cutting it inside, outside rather, across the 50 is Alex McKenna. McKenna gets
About three, so well short of the first down. Probably four or five to go for the first down on third down.
Yeah, Marblehead is quick. I mean, they just get to the ball, and they take good angles to the ball, and they go in mass. They get everybody hustling.
All right, they got about three, so it's third and five to go, it looks like, across the way for Wakefield.
I would stick with those stationary routes where they run just enough to get the first down, and then it's much easier to hit a stationary target than a moving target.
And there it is, out to the right side. Marinaccio catches it at the 47, and he breaks tackles, gets across the 40 for the first down, and still gets more yardage out of bounds inside the 40.
Nice play, nice call. Nice block out there by the split end. He did a really good job of blocking the corner.
So Marinucci gets the first down. Marinaccio, rather, he has been a force on offense and played well on defense in this first half. Clock moving at 6:33. Marblehead 13, Wakefield nothing. But Wakefield is on the drive. They haven't scored yet this year, and they'd like to do that right now. Ball is at the 37.
I will say the quarterback's gaining confidence with every completion.
10-yard gain on that one. He's 3 for 3 in this drive. Is Lucy. And again, Lucy in the shotgun. Handoff this time. And spinning around and trying to get loose is Iannuzzi, but he goes down probably for a yard loss. Let's see where they do put it. No, it's right at the line of scrimmage. No loss, no gain. Well, yeah, you might call it a loss of one. So the ball is at the Marblehead 37. I'm going to call it second and 10. And the clock is moving. And, Paul, you have to mix in run plays, yes?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, especially in high school football. You don't see too many teams that can consistently go down the field throwing the ball.
I remember Drew Bledsoe threw the ball 70 times once against, I think it was Minnesota. And that was amazing. All right, we have
timeout on the field.
Timeout Wakefield this time. So they take their first timeout. And we'll take a quick break. You're listening to high school football here on MSONewsSports.com with Wakefield trailing, but on the march. You back with us? Oh, okay. All right, so we'll be right back. Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Great night for football. I don't know where the moon is. It's probably behind us coming up here. So yeah, we've got to be coming up. We're looking to the west. And I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, Scott Cooper, and upstairs, of course, it's our streamographers, Andrew Nicastro, along with Austin Souza, with our live streaming video tonight. We'll have another one next week, another live streaming video. But right now, it's second down and a little more than 10 to go for Wakefield. But they're in Marblehead Real Estate at the 37. And was this a direct snap? This thing falls apart, a fumble, and Marblehead recovers at their own 43. Well, that thing just looked bad to begin with.
I have no idea what happened.
No.
I don't know if the guy in motion.
Yep.
The ball hit him on the snap. But, oh, boy, that's a killer.
So, let's see here. 13 and just trying to get the total yardage. 15 and 13, 28. So, 39 total yards right now for Wakefield. And Marblehead will counter with 142. A little lopsided at the moment. But that was a nice drive until the turnover. 5:13 left to go. Marblehead starting at their own 42-yard line. We're in the first half still. There's a pass that's deflected and goes incomplete. I don't know. I think it might have been intended for Lopez.
It was intended for the tight end, 13. Or is it 5?
Pardon me?
5. I think it was intended for him.
Oh, that would be Bowman.
Interesting is if Marblehead puts trips to this side over here and puts a single receiver to the opposite side, it's one-on-one. Because that the safety's kicking over here. There we go.
And that's the formation we have.
Yeah, but they just wrote. Yeah, with, they just went through motion.
All right, Lucy wants to throw us in a flat, and that is read beautifully by the defense. The ball is loose, and Wakefield may have recovered this one.
I think they're going to call it a fumble, too.
Yes. Terrific play. Oh, my goodness.
Well, the corner made that play. He read that right away.
Yes.
It's good coaching, usually.
Wow.
He was right on that, and, of course, the receiver had his back to him, so he didn't know he was behind him, and he stripped him.
And I lost all the numbers that happened so fast. Wanted to mention the terrific defensive play, but now I don't know who it was. I think it might have been Iannuzzi in there.
Well, now they got better field position.
Oh, yeah. And another timeout. The ball will be at the 35, so let's just set this now. The ball after the exchanging fumbles here on consecutive plays. Wakefield fumbled. Marblehead returns the favor, and Wakefield now is back at the, they are right back at the Marblehead 35 with 4:57 left to go in the first half. Both touchdowns for Marblehead.
Well, like I say, that was good coaching. Is that corner knew that play was coming either from formation. I bet it wasn't a wild guess, and certainly was a huge play for Wakefield.
Launches it high, arcing pass, and the receiver has no idea what it is. It falls harmlessly at the 15. Good idea, but it just, I don't know if he lost it in the lights or whatever.
Yeah, might have. Yeah, that's, yeah. That was like a three-step drop and let it go with an outside release. But he really threw it wide. The receiver looked to the inside. Sometimes you'll throw that ball to the outside.
Well, Carmen Sorrentino was the intended receiver, and he had pretty good coverage all over him, too. So, as it turns out, incomplete. Second and 10, Wakefield at the 35 of Marblehead, moving from right to left. High formation stacked up behind Lucy. Pitch to the tailback. That's Marinuccio. He's going to run it outside. Stiff arms a tackler. Gets to the 30. Cuts it back out. Inside, rather. Out of, on the far sideline. I'll get it straight. Close to the first down. He's right at the 25. I think they're going to put it at the 24.
It's the second time they've run the toss sweep for big yardage.
Yeah, he gets 11.
A lot of times you'll run the toss sweep to the tight end, but they're running it to a slot, a twins formation. So there's good blocking by the slot, the receiver, slot receiver, and the split end.
Don't know Marinaccio's size, but he runs big.
Well, they used his stiff arm, and, you know,
Pat Larry
lost start with some kids.
Pat Larry is split to the left side with the eye. Again, it's a handoff to the tailback. That might be Marinaccio. This time he gets nothing. Well, maybe a yard.
No, that was off tackle.
And I don't see who ran it.
Seems like they're better off trying to get outside.
Marinaccio on the carry.
It's at the 23. Clock moving at 3:53. At halftime, we'll have a guest or two up here. Hope to talk with Brendan Kent, if he can make it. But tremendous crowd ringing the field here tonight. Near stands are totally packed. Well, that's all we have are the near stands. All right, second down and 9 for Wakefield. They've got 4 timeouts remaining. So does Marblehead, for that matter. Handoff. Well, play action. It is complete. Pass out to the right side, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, and breaking tackles is Iannuzzi. First down, close to the 10, maybe inside the 10.
Nice throw. Very impressive.
Nice play action, too, right at the 10-yard line.
They snuck him out into the flat, and no one picked him up from Marblehead.
Well, that's a 5th or 6th completion for the sophomore quarterback, and that was a nice one. Well executed all the way around. 3 minutes left to go.
He's not playing like a sophomore now.
No, that's cool. 3 minutes left to go in the first half. And Wakefield knocking on the door. They cannot get the first. They've got to punch it in. 10 yards away. Marinaccio, look at this formation. Everybody up to the line of scrimmage for Wakefield. Marinaccio straight gets the direct handoff. Outside the 10 to the 5. And he is in. Touchdown. First touchdown of the year. And Wakefield has scored. It's 13-6.
Marblehead 13, Wakefield 7.
Boy, he just wasn't going to be stopped, Coach.
No, they ran actually a short yardage offense, and he got the wreck snap, and I'm not sure if it was planned to go outside, but he bounced it outside and outran the defense.
Joel Marinaccio has been stellar so far tonight. That's a 10-yard drive, a run, rather, for the touchdown. And cutting the score to 13-6. And, boy, that's what you want to do. Five plays and 35 yards, taking advantage of the turnover. Iannuzzi will attempt the point after. And it's a tough snap. The ball goes down, and he gets a good kick. Of course, 13-7.
Got to put a little bit more on the snap.
Yeah. That was a tough one. The holder had to reach behind him to catch the center, to catch the snap and then put it down. But they did. They got it done. And it's now 13-7. So the drought is over for Wakefield. They have scored. They got to feel good. They took advantage of the turnover. And I think Scott Cooper will probably tell me that Coach Rudloff will want things to be cleaned up a little bit. But Wakefield looking pretty good. And sophomore quarterback, Paul, impressive.
Very impressive. And, I mean, some of these receivers are wide open. And he's right on the money with them, hitting them in stride. It's one thing to hit them, but also in stride where they can actually run with the ball after they catch it. So what's important here is to get a deep kick and not give them good field position, because Wakefield really doesn't want to give up any more points here. And
what did you see, Scott?
That has to be a big relief for the Wakefield players. Finally, almost going six quarters without getting any points. They took advantage of that Marblehead fumble and punched it right in. So that's going to give them a charge.
And they actually forced that fumble, too.
Yes.
That was a terrific defensive play. Short kick coming down and muffed and out of bounds at the 17-yard line. Off the fingertips of one of the Marblehead receivers. Not going to mention who. It goes out of bounds. And then the Magicians will start inside their own 20.
Well, that's a break for Wakefield.
Another break for Wakefield, absolutely. And now it's incumbent on them to stop Marblehead here with 2:34 left to go. On the other hand, you know, the Magicians can take control of this thing if they run down the clock and go in again. So the ball is at the 17-yard line for Marblehead at their own 17 with 2:34 left to go in the first half. 13-7, they're leading. Lopez with a... it's up the middle. I'm sorry. Keeper by the quarterback. And gets a couple of yards. That's about it. Maybe three.
Marblehead's been able to hit the slot receiver right up the seam. They're in a cover two defense, Wakefield, and those safeties are deep. And if he can look those safeties off and run that slot receiver up the seam, it'd been open.
Quarterback handoff, Lopez running it to the right. Trying to cut it back against the green. He does. Gets it across the 25 to the 27.
A lot of the people thought it was holding on the outside, but they didn't call it.
It is at the 28. And they've got enough of the first down, I think, but you're right.
Right. I think
mentally,
you that are blocking in the back, the defender took on the block and then he tried to spin out.
Long discussion here between two officials.
Funny, Rick. The holding looked like it was on our sideline and it looked like the official from the other sideline called it.
Right now the ball after the gain would be at the is at the 28. And we'll see where it goes. Another official telling the headers, go back, don't come to line of scrimmage. Long, long discussion. Now, man in the white hat looks this way and looks the other way. Now he goes over and talks to...
Oh, they're going to call defensive holding?
Yeah, maybe. Coach Cummings on the field wanting an explanation. All right. Now the referee comes back this way.
Wave
it off.
It was a running play, so...
That makes a first down for...
If there was holding, it was down here on our sideline.
28-yard line.
So
Lopez gets the first down at the 28. And
no, I think it's still third. No, they are.
No, it should be first down. He got plenty. The chains weren't ready, but he did get the first down. Lopez blasts it out to the 36-yard line. Well, the original line of scrimmage was the 17, and he made it to the 28.
So the chain gang very slow in moving it, but the referees didn't let them. They had to stay where they were until the call.
Right, the referee moves them.
So it's at the 36. Lopez, 8-yard gain. Pass play. Fires it. Complete. 40, 45, 50. And inside Wakefield Real Estate at the 49. That was...
Well, this is impressive. Let's see how they do their hurry-up series here.
Complete to Fea. And the ball is right at the 50. All right, here's a pass out to the right sideline. And the receiver had his knee down when he caught the ball. Derek Marino actually loses yards. He had to scoop down, but his knee was down. Caught it down right there at the Marblehead 47.
13. All right, timeout with Marblehead.
So Marino gets the ball back to the, where do they put it? Yeah, put it back at the 47 of Marblehead. So 3-yard loss. That will make it second and 13 with the timeout and 106 remaining. Wakefield trying to dial up the defense and stop Marblehead. Magician started this drive at their own 17. They got it out. That's funny. The linemen are down, and the backs are looking over the sideline for the play. Now they get it. Got a bunch formation over here to the right with three receivers on the short side of the field. Quarterback drops back to pass. Lucy looking. Throws it up high. Intercepted at the 36 to the 40. 45, 50, down the sideline. 45, 40, and a great run back, I believe, number 9 on the interception. That would be Pat Leary.
Nice play. I think it was a little bit overthrown in the middle of the field. The middle of the field, if you make a mistake, you want it low, not high. And that ball was high, so
Pat Leary
over the receiver's head, and it got picked off.
So Pat Leary with the interception after the headers had gained 30. And that will... Well, that'll stop Marblehead on this drive anyway. So let's see, another 31-72. All right, so 53 seconds left. Wakefield is masked on the far sideline talking to the coach. Another defensive play, but you could also say it might be a mistake on the Marblehead's part, but Leary, alert to it, went up and caught it, and got about a 30-yard return. So here we go. The ball is at the Marblehead 40.
Trips to this side.
With 52 seconds left. Pass to the left. Complete. At the 40.
Ball.
No gain. And that was...
Michael Lucy's pass complete to Alex McKenna. No gain.
Complete to McKenna. So...
Timeout. Wakefield.
Let's see. They lose a yard, actually, back to the 41 on the completed pass. So... McKenna gets the reception. Ball's at the 41. Well, Wakefield's got to feel pretty good about itself at this point, Coach.
I would think so. And I think the coaching staff is feeling better about their team. It's getting more confidence in the offense and defense.
Yeah. They scored the last time they had the ball from 35 yards away, and now they're at the 41-yard line. 45 seconds left, and quarterback Mike Lucy... will fire it high, long, deep. Three people downfield. It is caught by the Wakefield receiver at the 8-yard line. Oh, no, it's intercepted. It's intercepted. It's a takeaway. It's a takeaway. Marblehead intercepts.
Lucy's pass.
It's all right.
Wow. Oh, that's like a punt.
It'd be nice, right. It'd be nice if he caught it, but it's certainly got, they don't have great field position.
Well, that was like a Hail Mary. There were three guys jumping for the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have much time. You know, sometimes those plays don't work, but it does soften up the secondary that they realize you are going to throw deep. So it may help you down in the long run.
All right, now watch out. Umbrella defense, watch out. Don't, you know, Wakefield has to watch out for Lopez. He can go the distance. First and 10 from the 8-yard line. Lopez, the handoff, out to the, trying to stretch the field laterally, and he gets to the 10, and he fumbles, but it's out of bounds, and they say the ball was down. So great defense that time, Wakefield stretching it out, and he does not get out of bounds. The clock continues to move.
No game. Second and 10.
think they're going to let the clock run out.
Well, if they do, it has been quite a first half.
Either that or...
Clock stops with 11.9.
Yeah.
Now it goes. You've got to let it roll. So that will do it for the half. A terrific first half here from Wakefield as Marblehead opened up a 13-0 lead, but then Wakefield, on the strength of its defense, set the offense up. Wakefield goes in and scores, and we are at 13-7. We'll recap the half and have some conversation for you in just a minute. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. 13-7 at the half. Marblehead leading.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
MSONewsSports.com, MSO Radio.
Okay, we're at the half, and the score is 13-7. And let me just recap the scoring. Scott Cooper is going to give us his pearls of wisdom here in a second. For Marblehead, they opened up the scoring with 8:32 left to go in the first quarter. Jason Lopez ran 15 yards. That was a 10-play, 75-yard touchdown drive for the Magicians. Paquette the extra point, 7-0 at that point. But then Lopez ripped off a 67-yard touchdown run, a beauty, on the first play from scrimmage in the second quarter, making it 13-0. And then Paquette, his kick was blocked, but it was as a result of an offside on Wakefield. So Marblehead tried to go for two, and Wakefield stuffed it. And so the score is 13-0 at that point. That was at 10:44 left to go in the first half. And then Joe Marinuccio, who has been all over the place on offense and defense tonight for Wakefield. Marinuccio gets the touchdown from 10 yards out, employing the stiff arm all night long. 5 plays, 35 yards for the Warriors. And with 2:39 left to go in the half, they cut the lead to 13-7. And Scott,
Your impressions?
Well, if Coach Rudloff was displeased about those penalties, he's going to be apoplectic about those turnovers. They only had one turnover last week against Walpole. They got a couple tonight, and it cost them. They got set up that first touchdown by Wakefield.
Well, sometimes you have to give credit to the other team.
Yes, absolutely. They've looked better and better. They've been slowly building momentum. The first two drives they had, not much happened. But after that, Lucy settled down, and he's moving the ball well.
Okay, now, in your job as a sports reporter, you cover the Swampscott Marblehead area. And besides football, what are we looking at? What are the things that have caught your eye early on?
Well, I've been at several Swampscott field hockey games. The Blue are 1-0-3. They're having a tough time scoring goals. They got two scoreless ties. The Marblehead girls field hockey has been rolling along. And Marblehead boys soccer, is 1-1 so far early in the season.
And
girls soccer doing well as usual, as scheduled. Andrew Bubb's team, they are a very good team.
Well, I need to take a breather here. Getting back to this game, Paul was mentioning that Wakefield getting more and more confidence, looking stronger, looking crisper, and you never know. You let a team hang around, and Wakefield's looking pretty good with a sophomore quarterback.
I'm sure they didn't think, no one on the Marblehead side thought it'd be a 6-point ball game at halftime, the way they moved the ball the first two possessions, but they've kind of stalled the last couple they had, including those two turnovers, which didn't help at all.
And, Coach, we talk about the turnovers, but the Wakefield defense has forced those turnovers.
Right, and, what you don't want, Rick, is the other team going in to the locker room confident that they can win this game, and I would say that Wakefield kids are starting to believe in themselves, and you can see it by their play. Sometimes scoring quickly and scoring easily is not the best thing for your offense to do, and the kids start to get relaxed and start to think that anytime they touch the ball they're going to score. Some ways that's good and some ways it's bad, and certainly Wakefield has found a way to move the ball. And they've mixed up their plays very well, and they've gotten a few breaks. And that throw over the middle, quarterbacks, when you miss over the middle, you have to miss low. You can't miss high because it tends to there'll be a deep safety, and he'll pick it off. So we'll see what happens. I guess Marblehead's going to get the ball in the start of the second half and see what they do. If Wakefield stops them, I think they need to play, continue to play as well defensively.
What are we looking at right now, Paul? Do you know what this is?
Well, I went to the UMass BC game last week.
Oh, did you? Okay.
And the UMass band was so impressive. And they did something like this.
It's like a ballet.
They run to a certain area in a group. Then they go to another formation. Then they run the groups. And I'll tell you, they had like 500 people in the band. It was amazing that the choreography of...
It's like synchronized swimming with the water.
It was actually better than the game.
Oh, that burdens me. I thought UMass was going to do better.
I know.
I think I was going to mention, though, could it be a battle of attrition in the second half, Paul? Because we saw Winthrop play so well against Danvers last week. And then in the fourth quarter, Danvers took it over. And you notice Wakefield has a tremendous number of guys who play on both sides of the ball. Marblehead's got millions of weapons. So is that possible, or can Wakefield hang in there?
Yeah, it's possible, but I think Wakefield, unlike Winthrop, Wakefield can match up to them size-wise. And you watch the tackling, it's very crisp, very good on Wakefield's side. I think they can compete with them, and maybe if they get another couple of breaks. You know, Marblehead's, you kind of get down on yourself, and you say, oh, my God, nothing's going right now. All of a sudden, everything was going fine. Now, nothing's going right. So, turnovers, kicking game, see what happens in the second half.
Scott, did I hear you say right that Marblehead was disappointed in their season from a year ago?
Well, they're unsatisfied.
Unsatisfied.
Is what they are. Great
okay.
regular season and very disappointing
okay.
losses in the playoffs. Last year they were going for the D3 North title at home against Danvers, who they beat during the regular season, and they just fell completely flat and lost 13-6. Spoke to a couple of the captains before the season, and they're all dedicated to do that. Even Jimmy Rudloff said he doesn't want his team to turn into the Buffalo Bills of high school.
Jeez, leave it to him to say that. Does the conference? We don't go to Gillette this year if there's a winner.
Yes.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, he said, well, I want to get this team to Gillette. That was exactly what he said.
Oh, okay. Good, because we haven't been down there since Ingram was there in 2010. And the years are starting to pile up now. I want to get back down there. And it's a fun place to go, isn't it, Coach?
Well, it certainly is. It's the thrill of a lifetime, and we were very fortunate to go there 4 years in a row. And, you know, I think still talking to the kids, it's certainly one of the highlights of their life to be able to play on that field. And we had prime time the last 2 years, 8 o'clock at night, and it was just, with the TV coverage and the whole, fanfare of going down there. I often talk about when we go down Route 1 in the bus to get there, and you look over in the distance, you see that gigantic stand.
Yeah.
The kids got so excited. And, the coaches get a thrill out of their excitement.
Well, yeah.
So.
And do you feel like you own the place when you got there the fourth time? Like, this is so familiar.
Well, we were in awe of being there, but we certainly, the kids had played there a number of years, so they felt pretty comfortable.
I was there one time. We were there before anybody showed up, and it was snowing, and the bowl was empty. And it was the most beautiful thing. It was amazing to know, that 60,000-70,000 people come in here and cheer on. And in a little while, the high school kids are going to be here with 15,000-20,000 people. The pros are something else. And that place is so well maintained. And the people who work there are so nice.
Yeah. Well, I know in 2009, we were the last game, and it snowed in the game previous to us. And it...
They're thinking about postponing your game, right?
They were. But it cost $30,000 to open it up the next day again.
Ooh.
So I think that took actually, the roads weren't that bad. It's just the field seemed to be, it just wasn't melting on the field. So we had about 6 inches of snow.
I do remember that. I do remember. Well, we're rolling down here at the end of the half as the Magicians come back onto the field. And statistically, what I have is total offense for Wakefield, 74, for Marblehead, 172. And offensively, the leaders so far, Jason Lopez, of course, for Marblehead, 6 carries, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. And for, I got this backwards, but for Wakefield, the quarterback, Drew Lacey here, hold on. Mike Lucy, I don't know what I'm writing. I got to get this right. Mike Lucy, 4 out of 6 for 40 yards. And the touchdown, of course, by the running back, Joe Marinaccio, who has been tremendous tonight. So Lopez with 2 touchdowns, Marinaccio with the other one as we get ready for the second half. And, Scott, I know it's difficult for you to hear tonight. Other observations, what are you looking for? What do you think the Magicians got? They get the ball in the second half.
They definitely need to get some points on the board in this drive because Wakefield is playing with a heck of a lot more confidence since they got their first points of the season. They looked a little bit better after they got that touchdown.
Does Coach like to go to the air or give it to Lopez?
I think he's going to go to the air. He's got a lot of good receivers. And if that stalls, he's got Lopez back. He's got Harry Craig, too. He's got a bunch of runners.
And he's got 5 or 6 receivers who can catch, just rotating him in and out.
Marino's a good receiver. Manning Sears, the co-captain. Bo Millett, double threat. Harry Craig coming out of the backfield. Lopez can come out of the backfield. So Galley just has to find them. He's got them at his disposal. But Wakefield's played solid on defense. Hasn't let them do what they want to do like last week.
I gave up on the Red Sox last night, I went to bed in the 8th inning.
I fell asleep and watched it at 2 o'clock in the morning. I forgot to mention to you the Swampscott Girls soccer team with the sister act, the Agresti sisters and the DeGrand sisters. They're 4 of the best players in the Northeastern Conference. And Marblehead has last year's MVP. She was a junior last year. Senior Olivia Eddy was the top scorer for the team, and she's back.
Excellent.
Both teams very strong, so I'm looking forward to their game in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's hard to believe we're in mid-September already, and Marblehead is ready. Wakefield has not come back out onto the field yet. So why don't we take a quick break, It's halftime. Marblehead leading this one by a score of 13-7. We'll be back with the second half in just a second.
Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
MSO Newsports.com. MSO Radio.
Well, a couple of times I've had my lineups reversed, and I try to do better than that here in the second half. As we're just about ready to go, Marblehead will be receiving down to our right, and Justin Fea will be back deep for the Magicians. Harry Craig back there as well. Of course, Lopez. We'll go back to about the five-yard line. So he will be back there with Fea. They'll be the deep backs. And Wakefield still not on the field as we await this second half kickoff. Gorgeous night. Can't tell if it's cloudless or not now, but the flag not moving at all, so there's no wind.
Yeah, it's just perfect for the players and fans. It's just great fall night.
All right, so Alex Jolie will kick off from left to right. He boots it. It's an end-over-end kick coming up to the 22-yard line. Return there by the header is blasting it out to the 40, or near the 40, rather, I should say. It'll be a first down. Drew Bisegna with the return. So it's going to be put down at the 38 to start this second half drive with Marblehead leading 13-7. All right, so Marblehead at their own 38. First play from scrimmage is Lopez. There he goes, right side, 40, 45, breaking tackles, 50, dragging players down to the 48-yard line. First down, Lopez, first play, second half. And it is at the 49 of Wakefield. So 13-yard gain from scrimmage, and right back to the line of scrimmage. Batted. Oh, it is complete. Left flat. Caught and run down to the 41-yard line of Wakefield. On the reception.
Quick screen out to the side. It's like a long handoff. Pretty easy completion.
And they're right back to the line of scrimmage. And Lucy had him. Lucy breaks away, scrambles, and he goes right up the middle. He may go all the way, and he's going to be caught at the 15-yard line and drags tacklers down to the 13.
Well, actually, they had pressure on him, and he gave like a pump fake, and they went for it, and then he ducked underneath him. Usually don't teach quarterbacks to do that.
I'm calling him
instinctive.
Yeah, I'm messing up. I'm calling him Lucy, but that's the Marblehead quarterback, so let me get that straight. As Drew Galley put it up. As you mentioned, Coach, and the defenders kind of overran him. He saw the hole on the left side and just scooted down to the, where is it, 13-yard line. So that is a 28-yard gain. And three plays, Marblehead has moved it from their own 38 to the Wakefield 13, and the Warriors call a timeout.
Not what Wakefield wanted.
Nope. And for Lopez... add another carry. So seven carries and 97 yards for Lopez.
Unfortunately, with these spread offenses, there's not much you can do defensively. I mean, you have to cover those receivers. And the only thing options you have is to go man-to-man and put more people in the box. But a lot of times when you go man-to-man, you got receivers running down the field, and you have defensive backs with their back to the line of scrimmage. They don't see what's going on. So it's not a lot you can do.
Has there been any changes noticeable that you've seen in this opening drive for Marblehead on offense?
Well, I just think someone read him the riot act at halftime. That's what I think.
Okay. Well, here we go. Right back to the line of scrimmage after the timeout. Aiden Gillis is the center.
Drew Galley, the quarterback. He's got Lopez off to his left. Three receivers split to the right side. Hand off to Lopez, trying to sweep it outside. And Wakefield misses a tackle. And Lopez gets back to the line of scrimmage. But
boy, they had him for like a seven-yard loss.
Yeah.
I think there's a penalty.
Well, Lopez got it back to the line of scrimmage, and he did a good job to do that. But this is a penalty against Marblehead, which is huge. This will be a 10-yarder from where? And that's the question. Looks like it's going to be right from the 13. So we'll bring the ball back out to the 23, or almost the 24. Let me back at the 24, Paul.
Holder.
Yeah, 24.
Yes. First and 20 from the 23.
Well, I guess it's at the 23. So call a 10-yard holding penalty, and now it's first and 20.
They get trips over here. They have one-on-one over to the far side, and you wonder if he's going to go. He's going to run off.
Going to run. The quarterback, Lally, is going to run to the right side and get maybe 10 back. Let's see. He gets right to the 15.
It's called a lead option, and the quarterback attacks the defensive end. He just reads the defensive end. They don't bother to block the defensive end. If he plays you, you pitch it. If he plays the pitch man, you keep it.
Just underway, second half. Ball is at the 15. Lopez, counterplay from left to right, into the middle of the line, down to about the 10.
Lopez in the carry.
And
the 10.
They need to get to the 8 for the first down, I believe.
Third and 8.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. They need to get down to the 3 for the first down. Yeah. So it's at the 10, third down. All right, now they'll spread the field again. Lally has Lopez with him. Two receivers on the left end, two on the right. Lally looks to the left, launches it, arcs it, and it's caught but out of bounds. So a little bit too far.
The defensive back opened up to the inside, and the receiver ran to the outside, so he lost. He kind of lost him. He didn't know where he was. Usually you'll open right up to the same way the receiver goes downfield.
Well, Fay made a nice catch, a nice leaping catch, but he was just out of bounds, and now it's fourth down. Fourth and 8 for the first down, fourth and 10 for the touchdown. Here we go. There's that full house pistol backfield for the quarterback. And here's the timing play over the middle. Caught, and it's a touchdown. Pass complete. I think it's Marino.
Yeah, just a quick slant from the outside or a post route. And he was hit him right in the seam. If they're playing zone, there'll be a seam right there between the defenders.
Well, that was right on the money.
Yeah, it was good timing.
So Lally to Marino, and that extends the lead now to 19-7 Marblehead after Wakefield had was feeling pretty good. So for the Magicians, that's 8 plays and 62 yards, leading 19-7. And that was pretty, Lally to Marino.
The reserve quarterbacks for Marblehead have their helmets off and different color hats. And what happens is one of them calls. They all make motions like they're calling the plays, but only one of them is live, and that's the one that the quarterback is really seeing what the play is. But one of them just went to get a drink, and I think he was the one that was supposed to call the play.
Uh-oh.
So he's in trouble.
Well, what's the holdup?
Well, they called timeout because they didn't have the quarterback there that was supposed to call the live play.
All right, so that's Marblehead's first timeout of the second half. Winthrop has taken one, but more importantly for the Magicians, they make a statement in the second half to start. I mean, they start the second half with the ball, protect it, and march right downfield, 62 yards, and score. And that opens up the 12-point lead.
I'll give Marblehead credit, too. I mean, they kind of knew what play they were going to go to. I mean, when you saw the three backs plus the quarterback in the backfield, you're kind of wondering, are you really going to run the ball? And they took the outside receiver and slanted him, and it was a nice opening there.
They will go for two. And we have a direct snap to Harry Craig now, who's the lone. No, I'm sorry. It is Lally. My bad. Lally fires it over the middle. Same play. And this one's knocked away, incomplete. I think a Wakefield player got hurt, too. No, he's okay.
So it's knocked down, and the score stays at 19-7.
No good. Keep the score. Marblehead 19, Wakefield 7.
Well, it's still within reach.
Mm-hmm. Remember, the Wakefield defense has forced some turnovers in this game and played very well. But they needed a stop there, and on the fourth down play, Lally comes through, Lally to Marino. And that was as pretty a play as you'll see.
Well, that's what we mentioned at halftime. They should they desperately need, well, not desperately, but they needed to reassert themselves on that opening drive to start the second half. And they certainly did. That was a fantastic throw by Galley to Derek Marino in the right side of the end zone. Hit him right in the numbers.
Yeah, bullet pass. And Marino doing a good job finding the opening, too. Okay, 8:34 left to go now in the third quarter. See what Wakefield can do with the ball, as they will be touching it for the first time in the second half. Ball comes down to the 15-yard line. Return to the 20, 25. Wall of blockers there, and gets it out to the 30s. And a wall of people go down to about the 35. What number was carrying the ball?
26.
Fitzpatrick. All right, Ryan Fitzpatrick with the return. Wakefield has had nice returns all night long. And it will be, they'll start from the 35, which is about average for them all night. That's where they've been starting most of their drives. So they'll start with 8:24 left to go in the third quarter after the Marblehead touchdown. Second half begins. Pat Bertini is the center. Dan Cataldo and Joe Connell, the guards. Devin O'Brien, Charlie Sr., who's a junior, are the tackles. Run play, not much there. I think it's probably Marinaccio with the carry. Maybe
well,
a yard.
That's that twins eye formation. They ran to the twin side, and you don't have a tight end over there, so it's tough to block the defensive end.
Mike Lucy is the quarterback. Alex McKenna, one of the receivers. Pat Leary, P.J. Iannuzzi, another. Ryan Fitzpatrick rotates in and out. And quarterback Mike Lucy calling the plays as Alex McKenna goes out of the huddle first and goes way out to the left side. Lucy is under center this time with the eye behind him. And we have a delay of game. Illegal formation. What is it? Oh, timeout. Timeout Wakefield. Sue, that's their second of the night. Two games, don't forget, two games tomorrow on MSO. As at noontime, it'll be Lynn Classical at Swampscott. And Scott will be there for that one. Gloucester at Beverly will be on Channel B. The Classical Swampscott game on Channel A. Gloucester at Beverly at 1 o'clock. That'll be Channel B. The field, as usual, at Hurd Stadium looking awesome. 7:36 left to go now in the third quarter as Wakefield is facing a second and nine. They're going to send Carmen Sorrentino off to the right side with McKenna way out to the left side. Looks like a strong right eye set up behind the quarterback. Rolling back to pass. He's under a tremendous amount of pressure and throws it away. Boy, he was no chance that time. Lucy had no chance.
Yeah, he's got to throw that ball beyond the line of scrimmage, and he didn't.
He didn't?
No.
So that will be intentional grounding?
Yes.
And they'll lose some yardage.
You should know that.
Line of scrimmage is the 36-yard line of Wakefield. And now Coach Rudloff is telling his players about the option.
There's
no option.
About the 33.
Yeah.
Sets up a third down.
And you lose 10?
Yeah, and they don't get to repeat the down. So
mm-hmm. Goes back to the 25. Yeah. You lose 11.
Loss of down, setting up third down and 20. From the 25.
Well, that makes it a little bit more difficult now for Wakefield. They'll be starting from the 35 on the third down, and they have to get it out to the 45. I'm sorry, the 25. They're at their own 25. They got to get it out to the 45.
You know, when you call a play under these circumstances, you're pulling one out of your hat. Mm-hmm. You really don't have design plays for third and 20.
19-7, Marblehead leading. Wakefield up against it right now with a long third down. High snap, one-handed by Lucy. Steps in the pocket, steps up, throws it long, downfield, and it is caught at the Marblehead 42-yard line.
Boy, he just got that off. What a great throw. I mean, what I like about Lucy is he's oblivious to the defense. In other words, he's totally focused on his receivers, which he should be. And he has a feel where the defenders are.
First down.
Great throw, great catch.
Long, long pass. 20. It's only, 25. It's only 34 yards from scrimmage. But, man, it was a lot further than that in the air. From the 25 to the Marblehead 41, first and 10, and they pull that one out. That was a third and 20. Lucy wants to pass. Penalties all over the place. Penalty flags. Lucy scrambles and gets it up to the 36.
But penalty
flags indicate it is a procedure call against Wakefield.
Boy.
So bring it back.
You know, I think it was a receiver, too, on the outside.
Oh, yeah, penalty.
You know, they had... I always told him, look in, and when the ball snap, you go. Don't worry about a snap count.
Then we'll set up a first edge.
All right, well, bring it back to the 46 after the penalty. But Wakefield with that long pass completion, and for Lucy, he's 5 out of 7 now.
You can't come out on the field, coach, like that.
For 74 yards. Lucy, 5 out of 7. 5-4-7 for 74 yards. Actually, 5-for-8. Forgot the intention of grounding. All right. First and 15 for Wakefield.
They got single coverage over here. They got trips over there.
Lucy throws it to the left side, incomplete, and that was almost a lateral, boy. That was almost a lateral, but it's an incomplete pass.
Second and 15 from the 46.
So Lucy now.
Well, they put trips to the far side of the field, and then they split end over here, and the secondary is shifted over to the trips, and you just got one-on-one coverage here, and he's in your face. So maybe put your best receiver over here and go deep.
Derek Marino, Sam Paquette, Justin Fea back deep in the defensive backfield for Marblehead. Harry Craig, Teddy Miley, Aiden Gillis, and Sam Frontero are the backers. Sears Manning, Christian Henniger, Bo Mallette, and Andy Clough up front on defense. Second down and 15 for Wakefield. And this is a handoff, nothing. Stuff right at the line of scrimmage. P.J. Iannuzzi gets nowhere.
P.J. Iannuzzi and a carry gain of 1 to the 45. Third and 14.
You do give him a yard, and so it's third down and 14. 6 minutes left to go, third quarter. Marblehead took its opening possession and drove downfield for a touchdown. And that was a nice pass from Lally to Marino. Drew Lally to Marino. They covered the 10 yards on fourth down. Late breaking the huddle. Wakefield comes out. They'll have two receivers on this side and two on the far side.
Well, what Marblehead's doing is they're taking their defensive tackles and put him at the end position.
Lucy tries to throw a screen, and it's tipped.
Deflected.
A lineman catches it. Number 77 for Wakefield brings it forward. Was it 77 or 71?
77.
77.
Caught by number 77.
And that is Devin O'Brien.
Devin O'Brien.
With the catch on the deflection, and it's close to the first down.
33-yard line, setting up a fourth down and 3.
Don't tell that lineman he can't catch.
Right. He knew what to do with it once he got it. He put his shoulders down and ran over a few people.
Lineman's dream, right?
Well, you know, how many linemen can go through their whole career and never...
I know.
Ever.
Touch the ball. Yeah, yeah. Well, now it gives Wakefield a chance. It's 14-3 at the 33 of Marblehead. On the near hash mark, Warriors moving from left to right. Big play in this game. Marblehead converted a fourth for a touchdown. What do we have here now? Somebody moved. Wakefield, timeout.
Timeout, Wakefield.
Well, it's their third. And
Why not, Coach? You got them. You might as well use them, I guess, fourth down and three.
Well, you know, there's different things. Sometimes you call a play and then you go back. I mean, you have about 20 seconds to figure out what you're going to call. And then you go back and you're saying, that's not going to work. And then you call, you know, really. You know, sometimes, yeah, I've done it. And
who called that play? Oh, wait, I did.
You second guess yourself and say, you know, this is important down. I mean, so you just don't want to call a random play. You want to call something you think is really going to have a chance.
It's almost a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, that if you're behind in a game, late in a game, you never leave timeouts on the field, right?
No.
You always use them.
You know, I mean, if he really felt that this was not a good call, their defensive alignment was going to take the play away, you know, call timeout.
Oh, you got him, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so here we go. Back to the line of scrimmage. It is fourth and
three. Got that single coverage down here.
All right. Lucy, pump fakes, can't get rid of it, almost tackled, throws it to the right side, it's caught. And I don't know if it's going to be enough for the first down, I think it is.
I think it is, too.
It is. McKenna catches it. What a play by Mike Lucy. Wow.
Well, I don't know how Wakefield will do this year, but they got a good quarterback coming back for the next couple of years. Boy, he's impressive. This is his second game.
That was on a fourth down, and that is his seventh completion out of 11 attempts. And where does that one go? They got it at the 28. It is a first down on fourth down. So they get 4 yards. They needed a couple. First and 10, Wakefield. They are on the drive. Once again, Lucy can't get rid of it this time, and he is clobbered back at the 40-yard line. Oh, my. He was thrown down by Sears Manning, and Lucy's not feeling too good about it right now.
Well, I mean, that's the defensive end, and he's unblocked. I can't believe they didn't assign someone to him. So,
loss of 10, second and 20.
All the way back to the 38.
Boy, it's tough calling plays under these circumstances.
Mercy. Well, he called the right one a minute ago, but what a scramble by Lucy, and then tremendous pass and great catch by McKenna on the other end. And Lucy comes right back in. He went over, got the play from Coach Cummings, come right back into the game. But now it's second and 20 on that big defensive play by Sears Manning. Ball in the near hash mark as Wakefield is moving from left to right. They need this one. Here comes a blitz, and it's overrun by the defense, and it opens up a big gap for Marinaccio, and he gets out. Marinaccio gets out to the 20-yard line, down to the 20.
Well, they blitzed. Yeah, what they did is they took the defensive tackles and put him at defensive end. And sent him, and there was no one in the lanes off tackle. And the linebackers, I believe, dropped.
Well, another big third down play, or check it, second down play, sets up a third and short. So it's third and two. And the ball now is on the near hash mark at the Marblehead 20-yard line. This time it's Marinaccio coming in with the play. And Lucy is split to the left. Lucy is split way out to the left. It's going to be a direct snap to Marinaccio. He's in the backfield with that three-blocker formation in front of him. It's a handoff, run play, and running back running over some of his own players gets the first down.
Well, they ran that for the touchdown, that formation. And he ran a sweep off it. Well,
Marinaccio
this time
kept it on the touchdown, right?
Right.
Yep.
And this one, they had a counter off it, so they had a counter off that play. Which worked. They got the first down.
Gain of four. Good call. First down.
I think it was Iannuzzi with the carry, and it's down to the 16. This will be the 12th play of the drive that began way back at the 35-yard line. Same formation. This time, Marinaccio keeps it himself, goes forward, and is dropped backwards, just blown backwards. Maybe he got a yard. Woo, mercy.
Ball's put on the 14-yard line.
Yeah, they really haven't proven that they can run power. And it gets tougher down here by the goal line. The defense is more aggressive.
Where was the original line of scrimmage? I lost it.
It was at the... 16.
16, okay. It's at the 16, and now it's at the 15, so maybe a one-yard gain by Marinuccio. And interesting, we see Lucy going out to the left. I wonder if he's trying to get his breath back.
No, I think they want a direct snap.
Right, I understand that.
But, they could throw it off it.
Yep.
You know?
Marinuccio is going to sweep to his left, looking maybe to pass. There's a big opening. He's going to go through and score. Touchdown for Joe Marinuccio.
Marinuccio the carry.
How about that?
Well, that's a little shocking, Rick. I mean, I would have thought Marblehead would have gone over that formation and maybe adjusted to it. They're outnumbered when they put three backs over to that side behind the line, and certainly they get around the area. They got more people than more blockers than defenders.
13 plays, 65 yards, and right away Wakefield answers. After the Marblehead score, Wakefield comes right back. So right now it's 19-13, and the Warriors will go for the single point after, and this is blocked. And
all right,
won't be returned.
It's a six-point difference, so it's not the end of the world.
Oh, boy. So, Marinuccio.
But the snap, again, was kind of suspect, and the kick was... The timing of that whole kicking, I think we saw in the Patriots game when they played Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The snap and the kicker's steps...
This is quite a game here. Marblehead looked like it was going to come out and take the game away. Wakefield gives up the touchdown. But
no,
they
look,
come,
at the,
look at the plays. The third down plays,
know,
the fourth down
I
plays.
I mean, that's
20 yards.
And they, they got some players, Wakefield. They're very creative. And, I mean, Lucy is just really stepping up.
Well, Lucy...
he looks like a natural. He looks like a kid who's got all the right instincts.
7 of 11, I have him for 91 yards, but every single pass has been critical.
Heck of a pass on that third down. I mean, he was poised, calm. He ran around. He ran for about 20 yards behind the line, and then he zipped it for the first down.
And he's a sophomore. Whew. Good things to come. So it is 19-13. Marblehead leading with 1:21 left to go in the fourth quarter, and this promises to be a pretty good finish.
Well, you can never plan for injuries, Rick. You got to be prepared, but you can't plan for them. This kid has as a sophomore, done a
good
nice
point.
Job.
Yep, good point.
I'm sure he was having a tough time. Obviously, no points last week, but seems to have found a groove this week against Marblehead.
Kobe Nato again, the senior, out for the season with a broken leg. And as Scott just points out, Mike Lucy, sophomore quarterback, first varsity start a week ago, and here we are. In the second varsity start, and he is a force right now. But let us not forget the incredible work of Joe Marinuccio on offense tonight, and defense as well. So the captains have stood tall tonight for Wakefield. 5-yard penalty pushes the kickoff back to the 5. Excuse me, to the 35. 5-yard penalty back to the 35. 19-13, Marblehead. So here's the kick, end over ender, going to bounce at the 23, scooped up there by Lopez, I think, cuts it from the 25, 30, right the middle. Oh, no, it's not Lopez, but it's a nice return out to the 42-yard line by Justin Fea. So good field position, as they say, for Marblehead to start this drive. Now, let's see if Wakefield can step up the defense. Each team has scored on its initial possession here in the second half. Magicians start from their own 43 on the far hash mark, moving from right to left. Beautiful night here, surrounded on three sides by Forrest. It's amazing. All right, snap, handoff, Lopez, 45, across the 50, close to the first down.
Lopez
just gets the hand from Drew Galley and motors close to the first down. It's at the Winthrop 49. Winthrop, Wakefield 49. Winthrop was a week ago. 8-yard gain, second and 2 for Lopez. 8th carry. He is over 100 yards now, rushing with 105.
Well, the corner for Wakefield down
Handoff, it's a first down on a spinning play and a leaping play for Galley, a keeper. Everybody thought Lopez had it. Galley kept it, gets the first down, but a dangerous hurdle there to the 45. So they're at the Wakefield 45, four-yard gain, first and 10. Clock showing 30 seconds left in the third quarter. And still moving. Going to send three receivers off to the right with Lopez set up.
His one-on-one coverage down here.
Quick. It's intercepted, but it's caught. Going the other way. First down, Marblehead, down to the 35-yard line. I don't know who caught that. Was it Fea? Marino with the catch. Almost intercepted, and it would have been a touchdown, but he missed the ball on defense. And that ends.
Did he miss the ball, Rick? I mean, it was, I can't believe.
I don't know
how. He was there.
Yep. Would have been six, but it is the end of the third quarter, and after three, 19-13, Marblehead from Wakefield.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
So you know how a song gets stuck in your head, Paul? If you're on the wrong side of a play like that, the defender steps into the backfield, has a chance for reception, goes 90 yards for a touchdown. Do you think, is it like a song stuck in your head? Do you see that a lot as a coach?
Well, I think that kid will see it, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. So close. So it's first down, Marblehead. Lopez steps through an opening, and he goes all the way down to about the 26-yard line. Yeah. Scrimmage, line of scrimmage was the 35. Lopez picks up another 8 or 9.
Well, I will say Marblehead's getting a push off the with the offensive line. Right now they're winning the battle at the line of scrimmage.
Lopez, 9 carries, 114 yards. And this is a play action. There's an open receiver downfield, caught, and it's going to be a touchdown for Marblehead. Harry Craig with the reception, right over the middle, nobody near him, and Drew Galley put it right on the money.
Yeah, there was more to that play than they faked that outside screen, which the defense kind of sucked in on it, and then he went for the slot receiver right down the seam, and he was wide open. Nice call, nice play.
So Craig, 26 yards from Drew Galley. And now it's 25-13 Marblehead.
By the way, you have what's called a go for two chart. It's it tells you what to go for, the best option, rather than you trying to figure it out on the sideline.
Well, there's some big plays tonight on both sides.
Galley with the keeper.
And Drew Galley goes in
making the score
for the two-point conversion. And that makes it 27-13 with 10:28 left to go in this here game.
Well, they need two scores here, and they've got to come up with more big plays.
Okay, so let's see. For Marblehead, that was quick strike, really. That was five plays, 67 yards after a nice return on the kickoff. So five plays for 67, and Marblehead didn't look like it, but they're up over 300 yards of offense now. And on the other side of things, Wakefield is just over 100 yards, but they've got the 13 points. And until that drive, we're probably feeling pretty good. just couldn't stop Marblehead. So the Wakefield Warriors have to come back again. They've been doing it all night long, and there's still lots of time left. Paquette gets a long, high kick that's going to come down to the 10-yard line and return to the 20 by Marinaccio. Goes from left to right, loses the ball, and it bounces right into the hands of another Wakefield Warrior who picks it up, and he gets it back to the 25-yard line. That was almost picked off by a magician who would have had nothing but stripes in front of him. Well, that was quite a play.
The ball is now returned to the...
With the fumble, it...
Very fortunate there.
Yeah, bounced right into the hands of another Warrior, but I guess they're saying you can't return it from where the ball bounced. Nobody was down, I don't know, and I guess... That's what we're discussing, because the officials have the ball back at the 23. Is that where it ended up? I thought it was a little further out. But anyway, Wakefield keeps it, so they have it at their own 23.
I think that rule's in existence to keep the forward fumble out of play.
Yeah, and a bounce like that will keep it going. Okay, so here's Mike Lucy, and handoff, forget about it. Marinaccio buried at the 22.
I believe it's Lucy carrying the ball.
Lucy,
Fake,
you're right.
Yes.
Yep. And
no game.
Yeah, back up to 22. So it's about a 1 yard loss. Clock moving. 9:48 left to go. Wakefield has two timeouts left, and Marblehead has four. And Wakefield taking its time in the huddle. Scoring in this second half. Galley to Marino, 10 yards. Galley to Craig, 26 yards for Marblehead. And Marinaccio, 15 yards for Wakefield in the second half. Marinaccio with two touchdowns for the Warriors. Here's a quick pass out to the left side, covered nicely by the Magicians. A loss back to the 16-yard line.
Well, the split end missed his block, so there was pressure.
That was complete to Fitzpatrick. And blown up nicely by the Marblehead defense. Back to the 16.
Stock blocking, which it's called when your split end has to block a corner. It's called stock blocking, and I'll tell you, it's a real skill.
So third and really long for Wakefield, but they've been facing third and long and fourth and long all night and coming through. Third and 17 for Wakefield, back at their own 16. Marblehead pinning its ears back right now. Lucy gets the direct snap, rolls to his right, has to avoid a rush, and he does it, and he goes into the end zone. And I think this may be a safety, or they may stop his progress just at the goal line. No indication of a safety. But relentless pressure by the D. He held on to the ball, and they're going to spot it at the 2.
The ball spotted at the 2-yard line.
Well, that, you know, that touchdown and the subsequent defense ball, that may be the turning point in the game, because Marblehead just pushed Wakefield all over the field in this particular series.
Right. It's a lot to overcome.
Wow, yeah. And Wakefield will take a timeout or not?
Generally, when you're now too, usually the punt is 13 yards deep, and you don't want to go back to the end line. You want to be at least a yard away from the end line, because if you step backwards, it's a safety.
When Pat Larry is back there, and we notice the wind has picked up right in his face, and he gets a tough kick away that's fielded by Lopez at the 31-yard line of Wakefield. Returns to the 20, to the 10, and down to about the 5-yard line. So it's all falling apart right now for Wakefield, and Marblehead just jumping all over it. Bad kick with the pressure, and Lopez returns it about 25 yards.
Well, generally when you punt a ball, it's 1.5 steps, and when you're in that position, you can't even teach. It's a one-step and punt.
Yeah.
And they had pressure right up the middle, and they blocked it.
All right, the ball is at the 5 on the near hash mark for Marblehead. And referee coming over to talk to Coach Redloff.
Well,
What's the strangest thing an official ever told you coming over to talk to you?
Well, actually, I was quarterbacking for Springfield College, and we were playing at Amherst. And the referee, we were in a huddle, and he said, I had actually known the guy from Falmouth, and we were playing at Amherst College, and they had parking in the end zone. He said, Paul, you better move your huddle. I said, why? He says, there's a car coming right down the middle of the field. Some kid who had a little bit more, too much to drink, drove right down the field and started doing wheelies, so we scattered.
Yeah,
I would say that's the most...
Well, you remembered instantly, so I would guess.
Yeah.
Do we have an injury timeout? Oh, okay, thanks. Spiros is telling us that somebody got hurt on the sidelines. Yeah, out of our view, I see it now, down in the corner of the end zone. So both teams are off the field. And
is that because of the play? Or?
I don't know. I didn't see that. Spiros, did you see what happened? Oh, on a play? Okay, so it happened quite a while ago, yeah. Okay. So Spiros Frangoulis, the PA announcer up here, telling us what's going on. And
from Marblehead photographer.
All right, so
that's
there
too
are...
Bad. That's
too oh, that's... Most unfortunate. Being tended to down to our right, so why don't we take a break? And again, this game, our live video streaming with streamography.com. Andrew Nicastro and Austin Souza upstairs for us. We hope you're enjoying it. Let us know. msonewsports@gmail.com. Two more games tomorrow, of course. We've got St. Mary's. Check it. We've got Gloucester at Beverly. That's a 1 o'clock start on Channel B, and Lynn Classical at Swampscott on Channel A. That's a noon start. Well, Wakefield is coming back onto the field.
Well, one of the most dangerous places you can be is on that sideline. Anybody, you know.
Got a breeze now, too, that's blowing from left to right across the field, right into the faces of the defenders, Wakefield Warriors. So it will be at the backs of the Marblehead Magicians. They got 27 points a week ago, and they're headed for more than that now. And they seem to be wearing down Wakefield after a tremendous effort by the Warriors. Well, it's first and goal now after the tough kick. First and goal from the 5-yard line for Marblehead. They get the stacked eye with Lopez, the deep back, but this is a fumble, and the quarterback has to. It wasn't the quarterback. That was.
It was seven.
Yeah, it was Drew Galley. I'm sorry. So Galley was just a kind of a muffed snap, and Galley held on to it, loses, what, a yard maybe?
Well, it actually was a low snap. And
loss of a yard, second and six.
It's kind of a bad exchange. And the clock is moving at 6:48. So Marino will split out wide to the right. Bo Millett will split to the left side with Craig in motion. But it's a keeper by Galley. He bounces off a couple of tackers and goes forward close to the goal line.
To the 2-yard line, setting a third and goal to the 2.
Okay. I'll go with Spiros on that one. It's at the 2, 4-yard gain. And now it's third and goal from the 2. 6:17 left to go, clock moving. Beautiful facility here in Wakefield. Awesome. And again, my thanks to Athletic Director Brendan Kent, who's been tremendous. Spiros Frangoulis upstairs here has been so gracious. It's been awesome. Great night for football. And the wind picking up now substantially. Timeout, Marblehead.
Timeout, Marblehead.
And they spend their second. Now, next week our video game will be Friday night at Danvers, Paul. It is, I thought we were, you and I will be in Gloucester, but the video game will be Marblehead at Danvers. We're going to be in Gloucester, Swampscott at Gloucester. Is that all right with you? Oh, that's right. You might not be able to make it. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll
so
see.
We'll be there. All right. Okay. That will be our game on Channel B, but our video game will be Marblehead traveling to Danvers. And then on Saturday next week, it is Peabody at Beverly, so a lot of home games for Beverly. So this one, the scoring in the first quarter, it was Lopez for Marblehead. Second quarter, Lopez for Marblehead, and Marinaccio for Wakefield, 13-7 at the half. Then Galley to Marino, and Galley to Craig, sandwiched around a Marinaccio touchdown, 27-13, Marblehead.
Well, I think Marblehead's really executed their offense well tonight. Their problem has been they haven't had the ball a lot. I mean, when Wakefield has had really long, long, time-consuming drives.
Third down and goal from the two-yard line as we get ready to resume play. Craig in motion from left to right. Low snap. Galley fires it. Incomplete. So it's fourth down. It's hard for me to see the football in the glare here far away on the right side. It looked like it hit the back of somebody. I don't know if that was just a muffed play or what, but it did stop the clock. 5:49 left. So this is a fourth and goal from the two. And
well, if they kick the field goal, it would put it out of range.
Well, and like I think Paquette may have that capability, but they're not going to set up for it.
Well, yeah, you don't know. I mean, they don't have confidence in it, or they just really want
to. Galley gets the offense started, rolls to his right, wants to run it in, and does.
Yeah, that quarterback lead option.
That ups the score to 33-13. And boy, when you hand the ball, when you get the ball at the 5-yard line after a short punt and a return, makes it a little bit tough on the defense. So Galley this time, a keeper, gets the touchdown. Took them four plays to get in to get the 5 yards, but they made it. Now it's 33-13. They'll go for the point after. And Wakefield jumps about 10 times. They blow the whistle. Marblehead 13 for Wakefield. And it's a procedure call against Marblehead, drawing the defense back. So we'll do it again. Actually, never got it started in the first place. And this time the point after is long and true. So it's 34-13. Paquette puts it through this time. And now a 21-point lead.
Well, it looks like their kicking game's pretty strong, too.
Mm-hmm. Scott Cooper over here working away, filing his reports, and he has this strange alien. And go through his bench. You got this strange alien stuff over here. I don't know what that is. Some kind of calligraphy or something or other. Anyway, that 21 points, that kind of puts it out of reach. But a gallant effort by Wakefield tonight. And I think you point out, Coach, that we're seeing the emergence of quite a quarterback on the Wakefield side.
I do. I mean, for him to go from freshman football to playing varsity football and making the plays that he made in his second game is very impressive.
Down to 5:41 left to go. Wakefield will get the ball one more time anyway. And so it'll be a long boot. That's a line drive caught at the 10-yard line. 15, 20, 25. That's Marinaccio again. 30. And gets it across the 30, 35. Breaking tackles across the 40 to the 43-yard line.
Boy, is he a strong runner. I mean, he doesn't look that big, but tough to bring down.
5:29 left to go in the ball game, and Marinaccio, who's been tremendous all night long, will get Wakefield set up at their own 43. But they're trailing by 21. Good effort tonight, both sides of the ball. And looking at a number of different numbers out there for Marblehead.
What you want to see now is you know, for Wakefield, their coaches, they want to continue to see them move the ball and improve.
Well, so the ball is at the 43 I formation. Lucy pitches it back on the run. Sweep out to the left side to the 44. And must have been number 4 carrying the ball. So that would be Will Shea. First time I've called his name tonight. Give it to the 45, so it is a 2-yard gain. Second and 8, clock moving at 4:39. Carmen Sorrentino is flanked out to the left side, high stacked up behind Mike Lucy. Tarantino now shuffles along the line of scrimmage. Lucy rolls to his right, and he's hit and brought down for a big loss back at the 30-yard line.
Well, they had
Teddy Miley with the tackle.
Yeah, they had completed that pass previously where they sneak the back out to the weak side, make the run this way, and then roll. And the defensive end is just right in his face.
Yeah.
So.
So the starters remain in the game for Marblehead. That was Miley. From a linebacker position, just one-on-one with Lucy, and he couldn't get away. No way. So the clock moves at 3:46, 34-13. Is the score on this one. North Shore Sports Night on Monday night, and again, two more games tomorrow here on MSO News Sports. High school football, three receivers down here to the left, near side. Completed to Marinuccio. He gets it to the 35, trying to break a tackle to the 37. Marinuccio with good second effort, but not enough for the first down. Oh, I stand corrected. It's 9, not 8. Thank you. So it's Pat Leary with the reception.
Gain of 5, third and 15.
And the ball is at the 38. So about a 6-yard gain, and that's, let's see here. 8-4-13, 8-4-14. And we lose yardage and we gain yardage. So let's see. He lost in that play. It's a wash. So 8 out of 14, 91 yards for the quarterback, but it's fourth down. And 15 to go, Wakefield chooses to punt. This is a nice punt this time, but Lopez is going to get it at his 27 on the hash mark. Cuts it outside to the right sideline and goes out of bounds at the 33.
Lopez,
good coverage by the defense.
87. That's did a good job containing the run.
Brendan Coughlin, Jr. And we're down to 2:31 in this game. And 5 and lose 9.
Well, once again, our next home game is 2 weeks from tonight here at Lanigan Field. 7 o'clock.
So we'll be running out the string here. I'm not sure, you know, that Marblehead's going to go all out on this particular drive. Leading 34-13, a comfortable lead. 27 points a week ago, 34 this week.
You did take Lopez out.
Lopez with over 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns tonight. And let's see if we have a new quarterback in the game. It's a run play to Harry Craig. He's going to go outside to the 40-yard line. And, nope, same quarterback, Drew Gelly. And Craig gets it across the 40.
Ball is put on the 42-yard line.
So the original line of scrimmage, 36. And Craig gets it to the 42. Second and 4, we have the 2-minute warning.
2 minutes left to go in the game. 2 minutes.
This is where confusion, usually you try to get some of the other kids in.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching the quarterbacks do the dance down here.
Yeah, I know. It's not, you know, it's their system.
Quite a choreographed routine there.
Yeah.
All right, so it's second and about 4. New quarterback, new running back, breaks it across the 45, first down. And that is number 33 on your program. And that is...
by number 33, Drew
Bisegna. Yeah, Drew Bisegna with the carry for the first down.
First down for the Magicians at the Magicians 49-yard line.
7-yard gain, first and 10. And the quarterback for Marblehead is Rocket. And Tom Rocket is a senior with a man in motion. It's a handoff once again to Bisegna, and he's going to get a few more yards to the 47 of Wakefield.
Well, that's a familiar Marblehead name, Rocket, huh?
Isn't it, though? Boy, I'll tell you. They just keep on coming year after year after year. Clock moving, 1:11. Marblehead in no hurry, of course, to get back in the huddle. So the line doesn't need to know the player. How do they get the play?
Well,
coach?
He'll call out a certain blocking scheme. They don't even bother to look over, so he'll
right.
call out a blocking scheme.
All right.
Yeah, I see. He just went up and told him.
You got to go? Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, ready.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Cooper heading out. And another run play.
19.
Deeper into Wakefield Real Estate to the 37. Carrying the ball, Sam Paquette. You said 19 or 17?
I believe, well, maybe.
19 is Paquette.
19, yeah,
yep.
It was 19.
Okay.
He's quick, too.
He's the do-it-all kicker.
Ball carried on the 39-yard line.
And it's to the Wakefield
39. I think that's
39.
Gonna do it.
Another 8, first down. Clock moving now, 23 seconds, and this will probably be the last play if, in fact, they get it off. Take a knee, and that's it. All right, so we'll wrap this thing up. We'll come back with a final quick talk here. 34-13, Marblehead winning this one from Wakefield.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We have wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from the beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South, Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender. MSO Newsports.com, MSO Radio.
Well, we see a team tonight that was expected to win, and then we see a team that I think that is on the rise as Marblehead comes away with a 34-13 win, but it was not easy. Let me just recap the scoring for you. Lopez for Marblehead opened up the scoring back in the first quarter. Jason Lopez from 15 yards out, 10 plays, 75 yards, touchdown drive, and it was 7-0 Marblehead, 8:32 left to go first quarter. They open up a 13-0 lead at 10:44 the half with Lopez scoring again, this time from 67 yards away on one play to open up the second quarter, and it was 13-0 at that point. But then Wakefield started getting its act together, and one of their captains, Joe Marinaccio, had a tremendous night tonight, scored his first touchdown of the night from 10 yards away with 2:39 left to go in the half, 5 plays, 35 yards, take it this way. Let me just undo it this way and can bring it up. Where is it here? I just have to undo. Hold on. I have to do undo. I can't find it. A cable. That's why we have the break here. Yeah, there it is. Thanks. That's all you have to do. Okay. Oh, no. Wait. I don't know if they're still broadcasting upstairs. Let's keep it in. All right. Anyway, Back to the ball game here. Marinaccio scoring from 10 yards out, 5 plays, 35 yards, 13-7, 2:39 left to go in the half. And it was 13-7 at the half. But then Marblehead cranked it up in the second half as quarterback for the headers, Drew Galley, hit Derek Marino from 10 yards away to finish off an 8-play, 62-yard touchdown drive at 8:34 of the third. It's 19-7 Marblehead. But Marinaccio says, we ain't done yet. 15 yards away, he scores for Wakefield on the very next possession. 13 plays, 65 yards for the Warriors. They cut the lead to 19-13 with 1:21 left to go in the third quarter. But, boy, fourth quarter opened up. Galley to Craig, and that was it. 26 yards. Galley added the 2 points. 27-13 with 10:28 left to go. That was 5 plays, 67 yards. And then Galley finished it off with a 5-yard run to make it 34-13 with 5:41 left to go. Statistically, 337 yards of offense for the Magicians, 9 carries, 114 yards for Lopez. And on the other side, quarterback Mike Lucy, 8 completions, 14 yards, 91 yards. 8 completions out of 14 attempts for 91 yards. But he played bigger than that. And that's how I look at it, Paul. Marblehead looks like they're supposed to win, but Wakefield's on its way up.
Yeah, I think you're right in your analysis. Well, first of all, it was an entertaining game.
Oh, yeah.
It really was, and well played. But I think you're right. I think Marblehead, if they had any concern, maybe a little bit defensively, but, I mean, giving up those big plays. But Marblehead's offense looked very crisp, and, you know, it seems like the coaches and the players are in sync, you know, did what they wanted to do. The problem with Marblehead was that they, defensively, they were out there quite a while because Wakefield kept making such big plays in third and fourth down. But
yeah,
they seemed, you know, offensively to be strong. And I think you're right about Wakefield. I think, unfortunately for them, they played probably the best two of the better teams in the Northeast Conference. And so that's a tough way to start out. But they got some players.
Well, we'll be checking in with Wakefield from time to time, you betcha, with Coach Steve Cummings and the Athletic Director, Brendan Kent. We appreciate all the hospitality that we got up here. Final score from Wakefield, Marblehead 34 and Wakefield 13. Don't forget, two more games tomorrow. Check us out on MSONewsSports.com.